What's poppin'? It's the Thursday show. The Thursday Drew and Mike show in the DealsInTheD.com studios. Gary Graff will be along in about 45 minutes. And there's much to talk about. Oh, shit. Did anybody read his Greta Van Fleet?
Of course.
Greta Van Susteren review.
Greta Van Susteren.
What the hell?
Never have that dope.
How was his review for Greta Van Fleet?
I'm just kidding. I didn't read it.
Oh, did you, Trudy? Is there one? Suddenly I'm nervous.
Now I hope he doesn't have one.
I think he did.
I would be very surprised if he did not.
Let's see. I'm scurrying.
He has a review of a single.
He also is going to review Bohemian Rhapsody for us.
Oh, okay. Oh. I definitely want to get his take on the Roy Orbison hologram show. I'm dying to know how many people were there. It sounded like, I think he said minuscule audience. Which is pretty grim. Let's see, how am I Greta Van?
He didn't really give away anything about the Greta Van Fleet interview, so. But there was just a little bit of a tease about the new Freddie Mercury movie.
I see.
I watched a little bit
of the
Queen documentary that you were.
Oh, how'd you like it?
What's it called?
Days of Our Lives, right?
Queen
Days of Our Lives.
We're having trouble figuring out which document. There's quite a few of them. Maybe there isn't a new one. I saw one where Brian May's hair is brownish gray. It's not all gray yet.
Yeah.
That's probably the one.
Yeah. Was that the one where they were going back and forth over being on Top of the Pops? And Roger Taylor was like, "That was shit."
Yes.
And Brian May was like, "Oh, it was great."
And they had some early footage that I think has never been seen. And that sounds like it.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty good so far. I'm not done with it, but.
I thought it was really good, really.
Is it in 3D?
No.
Not interested.
I wasn't a giant Queen fan, so, you know, seeing a documentary on Queen sort of, I forgot how huge they were, how many great songs they had. That wasn't quite a catalog.
I know. Despite that, though, they were broke.
I know. That's
the longest time. I can't
That's incredible.
Believe that. That up until like a day at the races, I think.
Was it Day of the Races or Night at the Opera?
Yeah. Night at the Opera.
They had done a huge album and they were broke.
Yeah.
I remember
driving from Sandusky to Lorain because there was a mall there so I could buy that.
Aww. Oh, really?
And none of that money went to them. I feel terrible.
Yeah, that sucks. I know some stupid production company took it and some manager. How does this keep going on? Wouldn't you think something would be done to protect people? But same old, same old, same old. Just like these athletes.
Is Freddie Mercury homosexual?
You'd think there'd be some good financial minds that would just go into music, rather.
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem like that ever happens.
I know. I thought their comment when they saw the band manager driving a Rolls Royce.
Oh, yeah.
And they were really fired up and they were really mad.
That was the one.
Spend your money well.
Well, anyway, I want to get Gary on today because Pitchfork did this just scathing review of the new Greta Van Fleet record. And it was so scathing that I thought, I have to listen to this because I've listened to Greta Van Fleet. And if nothing else, I'm excited. They're from here. They're from Frankenmuth. Yeah. They play rock and roll. They've got guitars in a band, young band. And they've captured the imagination of a lot of people. They sold out 3 straight nights to the Fox.
Yeah.
So they're doing something right.
Oh, it's a good band.
You know, they had, I don't know how many million spins on YouTube for a Highway song. You know, probably 100 million spins.
Mm-hmm. 3 of them are brothers.
Yeah. They sound like nice kids. Sorry to call them kids, but they're 19 and the two twins are 22. The singer's 19. And this review was so...
How old is this kid?
19. Elton John loves them, by the way. Elton John thinks they're fantastic. He played with them. He did a couple songs with them at a pre-Grammy party, I think, or a pre-something party, pre-AIDS Foundation party.
I think they were invited to Coachella. This was, you know, like last spring. And Were they at Cal Jam, too? I think they were there. So they've done like major festivals.
Yeah.
That's a lot of tickets.
I just thought the review was so incredibly dismissive. It was getting a lot of...
That's Pitchfork. They get off on ripping albums apart.
Well, you know, I've seen movie reviewers that do the same thing. They really make it about them. It's like, I'm going to write such a blistering review that really this is about my review and how scathing it is. And people will quote all the sickening things I say about this horrible movie. And that's how I felt about this. And this is the problem with having reviewers on the internet is that they do make it about them. And they really don't give a fuck about... Obviously, Pitchfork could give a shit about Greta Van Fleet. They'll never get an interview with them after this, I wouldn't think. Greta Van Fleet sound like they did weed exactly once, called the cops and tried to record a Led Zeppelin album before they arrested themselves. Poor kids from Frankenmuth, Michigan don't even realize they're more of an algorithmic fever dream than an actual rock band.
What?
What
does that even mean?
Yeah.
I have no idea. No, they play instruments. They make music.
Is this for his creative writing degree?
You know,
yeah.
That's my complaint with these movie reviewers is they're really, it's about them. It's not about the movie. They're trying to trash something so hard that they're the one that really gets the attention.
He's mad at the clothes they wear, too. He feels like they're appropriated.
So what?
No, fuck
you. Somebody wear. Why are you looking at it? You're supposed to be listening to it.
While they're selling out
Nobody
shows.
Nobody understands it.
While they're selling out shows all over the world, like that's just something to dismiss. Yeah, selling out shows all over the world, that doesn't mean anything. Somewhere in a boardroom, a half dozen people are figuring out just how exactly Jimmy Page and Robert Plant are supposed to fit into the SUV with the rest of the Greta Van Fleet boys on carpool karaoke.
That made me laugh, too.
I agree.
I think that says more about carpool karaoke in the record industry than the actual sound of the album, which they're supposed to be reviewing.
I don't understand why you would beat the shit out of this band. This band is exciting. They're young. They sound like Led Zeppelin. Led Zeppelin sounds like a lot of people, too.
Everything's pretty much derivative.
You made a great point. At first, I thought it was Gary's, and then I realized it was you saying
my tweet? Yeah.
Oh, you read Drew's review?
No.
My tweet.
That Led Zeppelin ripped off a lot of people.
He page-ripped off so many black artists.
Yeah.
And glad he did, because I like the song.
Yeah, me too. And I like this.
Sorry.
And also, Led Zeppelin got shit reviews. Really bad reviews. Horrible reviews. For years. I think the first four albums were reviewed very badly.
But the thing I don't like about what you're reading so far is he seems to be reviewing everything around the band and not the actual album itself. And maybe that's what he's trying to do or that's what he wants to do. But
no, he's completely dismissing them. These pieces of shit don't deserve your time. Just look at this photo. Brothers Jake and Sam... Kinska on guitar and bass are both wearing hippie costumes they 3D printed off the internet. The singer, the wretched and caterwauling third brother Josh, is in dangly feather earrings and vinyl pants like he was dressed by a problematic Santa Fe palm reader with a gift certificate to Chico's.
So fucking what?
Creative writing project.
It's a costume. Greta Van Fleet is all costume and things that look like another thing is your thing. Get ready to throw your lighters up for a band whose guiding principle seems to be reading the worst Grand Funk Railroad songs as if they were a religious text. I don't even know what he's talking about. He's losing me.
He's just really taking snarky into overdrive, so...
Through their debut album, Anthem of the Peaceful Army sounds like a bona fide classic rock writer with his fuzzy bass, electric sitar solos, and lyrics featuring the kind of self-actualized transcendence brought on by a few too many multivitamins... What are you talking
what
about?
What does that even mean? What,
you know, you're the asshole. As I read this, who talks like this? Honestly, it is not actually classic rock. Well, I tell you what you were just playing. Sure sounds like classic rock to me. They're a new kind of vampiric band who's there to catch the runoff of original classic rock using streaming services, data-driven business model. Really? Do you really know this? Is that really their plan? These three brothers sat down and devised this plan?
No, they were just used to jam in their garage. Music. Their parents were into music. And
Greta Van Fleet exists to be swallowed into the algorithms, churn and rack up plays, of which they already have hundreds of millions. Oh, really?
Wait, what
gee,
algorithm?
How do you get hundreds of millions of plays? Seems to me you must be appealing to someone.
And what algorithm? Because there's hardly any new bands out there.
No, they have risen to the top
of
all the classic rock sounding bands, of which, you know, me personally, I'm dying for new classic rock. Aren't we all of us who love rock? Don't we want it to continue?
Yes.
Greta Van Fleet exists to be swallowed. Oh, whatever. They make music that sounds exactly like Led Zeppelin, demand very little other than forgetting how good Led Zeppelin often were. It's possible to be an exceptional classic rock vampire act, but it requires something more than the major label money and vaguely Native American accoutrements. what an asshole. It's why Greta Van Fleet can't compete with, say, The Darkness's circa 2003 I Believe in a Thing Called Love. The Darkness, who aped big rock warhorses like Queen and Aerosmith and Van Halen, were so outrageous they had to be credulous. They had a song that went, "Get your hands off my woman, motherfucker!" Ooh! And did a power metal cover of Radiohead's Street Spirit Fade Out. Who would do such garish things? They dared you, tongue-in-cheek, to take this impossibly foolish thing very seriously. Greta Van Fleet do no such thing. They care so deeply and are so precious with their half-baked boomer fetishism, they mollycoddle every impulse of late 60s. I can't even follow this. It's so stupid. Of late 60s rock and roll into an interminable 49-minute drag. Each song here could be written or played by any of 1,000 classic rock cover bands that have standing gigs, but they don't.
Yeah.
They don't, because this is their song, their music, and people are going to see them. People are buying tickets. Okay, there's another really annoying part here.
What kind of jerk is this guy?
Greta Van Fleet do not possess self-awareness at all. When asked about a characteristically ug lyric, Jake responded in part, "I guess it's subject to interpretation." So he has no self-awareness whatsoever.
How old are they?
Of that line. 19.
How many
19-year-olds
are self-aware? Very, very few.
On the 22-year-old twin brothers, I don't know, it's just... I say, hey, even reading it. The only nice thing is it got the band a lot of attention, and it got me to listen to it. And I didn't think it was bad at all. I like the third song. Are you on the new album?
Yeah, that's the first one. That's what we were playing earlier, When the Curtain Falls. That's the single right now.
Yeah, that's funny. I didn't even know that, but it grabbed me right away. Boy, the drumming sounds kind of Bono-esque, or Bonham-esque to me.
Yeah, they really do. I can work Phil Collins into it.
The derivative of Phil Collins. I like this guy's review.
You know what the great thing is about music? It's so easy.
Exactly.
I want to look at this other guy's... reviews and see what he...
I guess there were some other... There were mixed reviews. Some people liked it, some people didn't like it, but Pitchfork really didn't like it.
I will say that's what Pitchfork does. That's their fucking thing.
I gotta be honest with you. I don't know why it gets so much attention. If they just trash everyone that comes along, then why do people...
Well, they don't trash everybody, but they're not afraid to trash people. He liked Bjork's new album.
Really?
Yeah. Ooh, he did. Now, this is interesting. Doesn't look like he liked Arcade Fire's new album, which a lot of people really liked.
I just question, do they get interviews with bands? Because when you do reviews like this, people generally don't talk to you.
They're known for being this snooty.
Okay, so they don't really talk to bands. So they just like taking shots at people and getting attention for it.
Yeah.
Okay, I fell for it. Sorry.
This is going to sound terrible after all that. They had a really good story today because they had a tape of XXX Tentacion. What's that dick's name?
Oh, yeah. Of him admitting to stabbing 9 people.
Yeah, and beating
his brain. Yeah, the guy that whose mother got a standing ovation when he won an American Music Award, by the way. And it was known at that point that he had beaten the shit out of his pregnant girlfriend and threatened her life every day, according to her. Not to mention numerous. I mean, this guy's rap list. Now they have tape of him saying he stabbed 9 people. Mm-hmm. So, great guy. Let's give him another ovation. Let's give him some more awards.
And then discussing his ex-girlfriend, who he believed had cheated on him, XXXTentacion, it can be heard saying, "I put my source of happiness in another person, which was a mistake initially, right? But she fell through on every occasion until now, until I started fucking her up, bruh. I started fucking her up because she made one mistake, and from there, the whole cycle went down. Now she's scared. The girl's scared for her life, which I understand. He didn't detail what he did to the alleged victim earlier in the
recording. There's audio of that on TMZ, I think.
Oh, really?
They're actually saying it.
Early in the recording, he said, I'll kill that bitch if she play with me.
Great guy. Let's give him another American Music
Sorry,
award.
You're dead.
Remember? Not real. I'm not sorry.
You should have seen the outpouring when he was killed. Because
they had that arena. His funeral was at there.
I know. I only knew about him beating the fuck out of his pregnant girlfriend. Now, you know,
Sorry you died.
If you Me Too someone, you're not allowed to exist, but you can apparently beat the fuck out of your pregnant girlfriend and just get rave reviews and people just fall all over you and kiss your ass when you die.
Yeah.
Would Kevin Spacey get that?
I wonder.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
They might sanitize his memory if he dies.
I think it's going to take a while for Kevin Spacey to come back.
Maybe. Yeah.
That's.
But she fell through on every occasion until
hey,
now.
Hey, I just said that.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. XXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXX
having how many people they put in the news. They said 3. It was 8. And Deerfield.
Wait, he's mad. They didn't get a credit for the other 5 he stabbed.
She seen the shit. She seen when I came back from stabbing in Orlando. She seen when I came back, had a brand new laptop. No tears on my face, no remorse. I just knew I was.
How good for you. You're really something.
She know.
You're so tough. Beating up girls who are pregnant.
Sorry, you died.
Idiot. Loser. Yes. See ya. The month of Rocktober is good for so many things. Nice way to start the show. beautiful colors on the trees. Yummy side. Look how we transition. And donuts, and most importantly, Ram Power Days at Zot M59 Dodge Ram. You heard right. Our studio sponsors at Dot Dodge Ram, Zot Dodge Ram, and DealsInTheD.com are bringing you Ram Power Days during the month of Rocktober. Check out this deal only our friends at Zot Dodge Ram can make happen. Lease the all-new 19 Ram Bighorn Crew Cab 4x4 at just $199 a month. Or if big badass trucks are more your style, Zot Dodge Ram has you covered. Lease the same all-new 19 Ram Bighorn Crew Cab 4x4, plus they'll add a 3.5-inch lift kit and 34-inch mudder tires for just $249 a month. Friends, these trucks are already upfitted, so all you have to do is stop by, sign up, and drive. Never seen a deal like this, and you may never see it again. Boy, they threaten you with all these ads. It's just never going to happen again. It's so scary.
I know.
To listen to a Zot ad.
I need a truck then. God. Get out
of my way. It's only available from Zot M59, Dodge Ram, and DealsInTheD.com. And then there's Adam back with us, along with Grow Green, MI. Facing divorce or custody issues, you need Adam, the American Divorce Association for Men. Adam's been protecting men's rights in divorce and custody matters for nearly 30 years. Visit them on the web, read some of the reviews from satisfied clients with phrases like professional, accessible, responsible, responsive attorneys. They put me at ease and really cared about my case. They saved me from losing everything I had worked for. Call Adam. Let them educate and guide you through this difficult process. Call Adam at 248-356-2326. That's 248-356-ADAM or on the web at adamdivorcelaw.com. I'm so happy that Oak Park has reversed their clown costume ban. Oh, talk about soft. Oh, my God.
I don't know.
I
kind of hate clowns.
Yeah, it's kind of with them for a while.
I'm not a big clown, but really banning clown costumes.
Do me. But
they're too threatening.
They banned clown costumes until they reversed it, but they allowed blackface.
Yeah, that they said they're
Wait,
not.
What?
They're,
no,
they
just
didn't.
Kidding.
They're not banning other costumes either. And I thought, oh, what if half the kids show up in blackface? Wouldn't that be
That's
something?
That's kind of the point.
Because Megyn Kelly told me to do it.
Yeah, yeah, and Megyn Kelly, oh my God,
it's really funny.
It's funny all the way the media just piled into her, like, oh my God, what an idiot, because she brought up blackface. What's wrong with blackface? I mean,
you know what media entity
NBC
piled on her the hardest?
Yeah. NBC.
They're her own company. They got, and today she's like, we need all black people on the set right now to rag on Megyn Kelly. So they had
Al Roker,
Craig Melvin,
who, you know, Clinton hates. Bill Clinton, remember he's the one.
Oh, that's right.
He dared to ask about.
And he was black.
Hoda Kotb was on there.
She didn't really say anything.
What is Hoda's nationality?
Hoda Kotb from the Drunk Ladies Hour of the Today Show.
Well, boy, maybe I'm racist because I thought she was black.
I don't know what she is. I know she's a Hokie.
Hey, what are you?
She's okie. That's all I know.
Yeah. Now, it's I really don't think Megyn Kelly is racist. I don't think the lady from The Real Housewives who wore the Diana Ross costume is racist. But you have to be pretty stupid to not understand why someone might find it offensive to have a white person wear blackface.
I guess so. I mean, I only know it because I hear it. It's not something. It's interesting, though. You know, they're talking about the 1830s and the 19. Well, Amos and Andy.
Minstrel
shows. It goes way back. But it is interesting that some of these things, you know, like the N-word's been reclaimed, and there's not a song that doesn't have the N-word in it now. But this can't. This can never be over. Even though, I guess, I don't know. Can black people wear whiteface?
Totally.
Why
not?
Well, Dave Chappelle did it, and there was that movie White Chicks.
Right, why is Robert Downey in trouble?
Well, he was a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
But he was in blackface.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And why is that okay?
It's...
Nobody, I didn't hear Al Roker yelling at him.
Retroactively.
I think that was the joke. Was that he was in blackface.
Yeah.
Well, but still, he's in blackface.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Why is that okay?
Because he really got into the role so deep he didn't know.
Well, what if Megyn Kelly was going to get so into the role?
Dress in blackface?
I'm just asking. It just popped in my head.
Hoda Kotb, whatever. She's Egyptian.
She is?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm a racist.
Ooh.
Wendy Williams was so angry. She pissed. Yeah, she's pissed about all the black people in the audience giving. This is the worst part of Megyn Kelly. She got a standing ovation at the end of the show. So, in other words, for doing something that was really went sideways and upset black people. Upset a lot of people. She gets a standing ovation for it.
Today, when she apologized. Yeah, why she apologized?
It was a rousing, and it was a lot of black people in the crowd, and that's what infuriated people. Where'd all those black people go? She never has black people at her show.
Oh my God.
Well, she did. When you looked at the audience, it was mostly white, but
quite a few black people there.
Someone's observation was that they should have actually mixed her group up a little bit. So they're
I've heard that. I disagree.
Well, that was
with
Good Morning America's take.
Yeah, that she should have a more. If she's going to talk about this topic, she should have a diverse panel. It's like, you know what, though? That's the panel she had. That was the topic that was brought up. I don't know how. It was probably pretty scripted, but what? You're not allowed to have an opinion on it? And
thing is so dumb. I just feel dumb talking about it. I was watching all these people taking it so seriously this morning. Oh, I mean, like, they're really put out by the fact that she said something stupid, and it was a stupid topic. I don't even know why she brought it up. Was she trying to stir up shit, I suppose?
I thought maybe that was part of it.
But is that the show to be stirring up shit, the fourth hour of the Today
They do. I don't know. I'm surprised.
I guess she pissed off Jane Fonda. So. Remember?
Yeah, Jane Fonda, who, by the way, talks about her plastic surgery recently and says she really regrets it. So, I mean, that was funny how horrible a question that was when she was on Megyn Kelly.
She kind of regrets it, but she also is glad she looks like she does. I think she said that, too.
Right. I thought her whole comment, her whole rap on that was annoying. Like, oh, I hate myself for getting plastic surgery and needing to look so great, but I do look great.
Yeah.
Okay, then you don't regret it.
Yeah, put her next to Lily Tomlin.
Undo it.
And
yeah.
You can put some wrinkles in your face.
No, I like that. I like that she looks like that.
Did you see how NBC Nightly News covered it, though, last night?
The Megyn Kelly story?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's one of their own. Was that their point? Like, we go hard after one of our own? Or are they really trying to
I think
to
they all hate her.
Push her out.
They all want her out.
Well, then just fire her.
She has a $69 million contract.
Well, just fire her, though, if you want her out.
69.
I don't think they want to eat $52
million. But I really do think that is a pretty dumb stance, though. And both Seth Meyers and the Morning Today Show played the clip of her back when she was with Fox saying that Santa Claus was white and that Jesus was white. Like, they piled on really hard.
Santa Claus be whatever you want him to be. I mean, but traditionally he's white.
He's been pretty white in my life, I have to say.
It's because you're white.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't run around looking for Santa Claus, but when I see Santa Claus, whether he's a stuffed animal, Stuffed animal.
Stuffed animal. Stuffed Santas to you.
He's, you know.
A doll.
Is there a blow-up Santa or whatever?
But you're missing out on all the...
He's usually white.
Missing out on all the black Santa events. You know, there's a lot of them.
I know.
Yeah.
We talked to a black Santa.
And when I saw this headline, I kind of laughed, and I said, oh, this is so ridiculous. Yet another person claiming it's racist to have a white Santa. You know, and by the way, for all you kids watching at home, Santa just is white. But this person is just arguing that maybe we should also have a black Santa.
You know the funny
Santa,
thing in that statement is, for all the kids watching at home, how many kids are watching Megyn Kelly's show?
Yeah, God,
that show
not.
That was at night.
She's like a babysitter. That show is so child-oriented. Oh, my God.
For all you kids watching it. It must have been her kids she was talking directly to.
I don't think her kid would keep it on for more than 10 seconds.
I know, they have to see her at home.
Jeez.
Here's the story from last night. Backlash.
Her comments came during a panel discussion on her program this morning, quickly sparking a backlash over remarks many viewed as racially tone deaf. Here's Morgan Radford.
What do you think Lester's thought bubble was?
During a segment...
I can't believe I'm reporting
this morning
this
about Halloween costumes. Today's show anchor Megyn Kelly stirred controversy with her remarks about dressing up in blackface.
What is racist? Because truly, you do get in trouble if you are a white person who puts on blackface for Halloween, or a black person who puts on whiteface for Halloween.
People got in trouble.
When I was a kid, that was okay as long as you were dressing up as like a character.
The conversation continues.
Is that really okay when she was a kid?
The Real Housewives of New York with Luann, as she dresses Diana Ross. And she made her skin look darker than it really is. And people said that was racist. And I don't know, I felt like, who doesn't love Diana Ross? She wants to look like Diana Ross for one day. I don't know how like that got racist on Halloween. It's not
seen
like
it,
she's walking around.
I have not seen it. But
you
it sounds
you
a little
have
racist
watched
to me.
TV host Pat Mawashmi tweeting, because caricaturing another race perpetuates the dehumanization of people of color. This isn't the first time Kelly has come under fire for comments about
I'm
race.
To play those
Santa Claus should not be a white man anymore. Yet another person claiming it's racist to have a white Santa, you know? And by the way, for all you kids watching at home, Santa just is white. Yeah. Jesus was a white man, too.
Later today, Kelly apologized to her staff in this email for using the term blackface, a practice long associated with minstrel shows mocking African Americans. I realize now that such behavior is indeed wrong, and I am sorry. The history of blackface in our culture is abhorrent.
I can't even stand to watch this. It's so fucking stupid.
So dumb.
It's just so goddamn dumb.
I have a confession.
Yes?
I went to a Halloween party as Tina Turner one time.
What?
I know.
Oh, my God. Trudy, you're off the show.
I know. It was a really long time ago, and I just wanted to wear a mini skirt. Like shallow reasons.
I'm traipsing into Megyn Kelly territory, but it just seems to me, if you go to a party with your friends and you dress as Tina Turner, you know, unless somebody tells on you or somebody's so offended. Mm-hmm. I mean, were you thinking about minstrel shows? And
I'm no, not
you
a
were
racist.
Thinking about Tina Turner's a good costume. So it seems sort of like it cheats. Well, good black costumes, I guess. I mean, O.J. Simpson is not really doing black people a lot of good.
No.
But, I mean, does it really hurt people if someone dresses as Tina Turner? Oh, my God, a white person dressed as Tina Turner!
It wasn't even, you know, like, well thought out.
I wouldn't be going, Trudy's in blackface. I'd probably go, oh, you're Tina Turner. I mean, that's just, I'm just saying on the most basic level.
Yeah.
This idea that we're all thinking about history and, you know, I understand. I've heard it a million times. Blackface is offensive. So I'll never do it.
Well, that's kind of the point, though, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, I understand that. But I'm just saying, if Trudy goes to a party, did you get in trouble?
No, I didn't. It was a station event.
Wait, how long ago?
What are the call letters?
How long ago?
It was here. It was a long time ago because I just remember.
It was a riff.
Wait, was it when Megyn Kelly was a kid? Because it was okay back then, she said.
I remember it was, I don't remember what year, but I was.
Wait, does it seem a little weird to tell a child that you can't dress as a black person? Doesn't it sort of suggest that there's something wrong with being a black person?
I guess.
As opposed
that's
to explaining
possible.
That, well, there's this thing called blackface, and it goes back to.
Well, no, you can still dress like him. I think the idea is that some people would prefer that you don't wear the.
Right, but blackface. A costume, a white person pretending to be a black person doesn't work very well.
I did hear a black person say the problem that they feel with it was that we're black every day of the year and you can just take it off.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means, but I'm not black.
Whatever. I mean, You'll never catch me in blackface. I'll never do it. I've heard it a million times. I can't believe Megyn Kelly even wanted to bother bringing it up.
I know.
I'm just saying, since you say that you were Tina Turner, I just can't imagine that it bothered anyone. But if you did it now, I'm sure it'd be a big deal.
You're right. Absolutely right. And let's try it. I would know better now, but
go
back
do
then.
Do it, Trudy. See what happens.
I loved Tina Turner, and she got to wear a miniskirt.
I'm trying to think of when did I really become aware that blackface was so horrible?
Well, see,
I think it was Ted Danson.
Yeah,
Ted Danson.
But he
was
dressed like a minstrel performer, didn't he?
Yeah, right here.
Mm-hmm. But he was with Whoopi Goldberg,
and that was part
who
of the,
thought
it was
part, funny.
Wasn't it part of the joke? Yeah.
Yeah. But. Oh, my God, the world descended on Ted Danson. I think people were angry he was with Whoopi Goldberg, too. I think that was what people were really mad about.
I think people are just weird.
Kind of impressed by it.
More recently, Julianne Hough got busted at a Halloween.
Aha!
She was in blackface. But she was in blackface and, like, a prison jumpsuit.
Well, it's the girl from her hair. The girl from Orange is the New Black, right?
Oh, I see. Okay.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean... I kind of am amazed that she would bring that up now and claim that she knew nothing about how offensive it was, though. I mean, seeing those Amos and Andy skits, God, that stuff is really, it makes me really feel awkward and uncomfortable.
I can't remember Amos and Andy.
They played clips of it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, ugh.
On the radio, they were two white guys doing black people on the radio.
Yeah,
I think the TV show, they were both black, though, weren't they? Amos and Andy?
Unless they dressed up for radio.
This topic is just so... I'm so tired of this shit. Every day it's like one thing after another. What was it yesterday? Not Megyn Kelly. It was...
Whether an escalator accident is better
No, it's definitely funny. I don't care how many people got hurt. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. Wait, no. Yesterday, I'm sorry. That was about A-Rod owning the concessions at Yankee Stadium.
Any feedback on that from anyone?
The prevailing answer seems to be, are you fucking kidding me? First of all, I stand by my original comment that why would they give A-Rod a piece of the concessions and not use his name? One of the biggest stars of the entire Yankee legacy, A-Rod. Yeah, why would it be under the table? Why would they? It's so stupid. It's so incredible.
Taxes in New York are so expensive. Okay.
I forgot. Silly me.
Just to save a couple $1,000 and you're making millions. That's a risk worth taking.
And, you know, they're only paying him $30 million, which was probably $10 million more than anyone in baseball was making. They really needed to throw him concession.
I love the conviction in which Tom said it. Like, it's so known.
For some reason.
I don't think he even challenged it until we challenged it.
I had. And, of course, his brother-in-law reassures us that, of course, it's true. Everyone in New York knows it. But Kenny Kramer, thank God.
Oh, boy.
Kenny Kramer was great, by the way. I thought it was hilarious. He's always funny. He's just radio gold.
Gary has messaged me that his last interview went faster than usual, so he's free as of now.
Oh, all right.
Well, read up a little Gary Graff.
Let's take our time with this, though, real quick, because I want to tell you about Hoop McInerney Star Lincoln. The Lincoln Navigator.
And you will listen!
Was chosen the 2018 North American Truck of the Year, and now the 2019 cars are all loaded up at Hoot. The 2019 MKCs have arrived at Star with October, marking the debut of the long-anticipated luxury crossover, the 2019 Lincoln Nautilus. You've heard about it before. The Nautilus comes standard with safety extras that otherwise would cost you thousands of dollars, like blind spot monitoring, lane centering technology for continuous steering support, and all the fun butt massagers, too. Those are really nice. Brandon can attest to that.
My favorite.
2019 is Lincoln's year of the effortless experience. Lock in a price with online shopping. Just come pick it up at Star. And you can also enjoy Lincoln's complimentary pickup and delivery. Star will come and get your vehicle and leave you alone if you need something done. Call Jimmy D to get all the info. 855-567-STAR. 855-567-STAR. You can email him, jimmyd@starlincoln.com. It's all part of the Star treatment with the legendary dealer, Hoop McInerney. He established it at Star 50 years ago, and Star still remains the jewel of Detroit Lincoln dealerships. It's at 12 and Telegraph in Southfield.
I got to tell you, I'm hearing from a lot of, well, I was going to say baby boomer types, but not just baby boomer types, like just older listeners, you know, probably 50-ish, and they're really kind of, they got a real chuckle out of Brandon's
what
gender reveal party
barbecue
maternity photos.
No, no, you cannot call it a barbecue anymore.
And Mark's 3 month, 6 month, 9 month, and 1 year photos. Uh-huh. And I think that the feeling was like, oh my God, I'm glad I don't have to do all that shit.
Yeah.
Which, you know, if you don't like, maybe you like doing it, but
if you don't like your kids, that's fine.
It's quite common.
I don't think they need pictures to like their kids every 3 months was the feeling. And it wasn't.
Sounds like it.
It wasn't. I don't think it was necessarily a knock. It was just more like, whew, boy, these kids today and all the things they have to do.
But it's not like my 6 month old is going, I want pictures.
Yeah.
I mean, that's our choice.
Yeah, but you want to do it, but I just think people
I
are
love
kind
it.
Of surprised
that
anyone
else.
Would go to a professional photographer every 3 months for a
for
baby
first
that's
year.
That small. Well, parents, I know, you've said you made your peace, and that's fine. If you want
I'm
them,
under
you
attack.
Want and, no, I said it wasn't an attack. It was more like a, whew, I'm glad I didn't have to do that stuff.
Oh, no, don't get me wrong. It's a lot of work.
Yeah, and so's a gender reveal party. Which it was by an 88% margin.
Well, it was definitely a barbecue, despite the Twitter results. But I'll go ahead and accept that the masses voted when they had no idea. They couldn't have possibly heard the conversation prior to voting. But
well, frankly,
what was Bill wearing exactly? How did Bill reveal this?
Pink. He just had pink on, you know?
What, a pink sweater?
I think it was like a pink shirt or something like that. And he came running. What happened was everybody was in the backyard already because they had just got done eating delicious burgers.
Wait a sec, Drew. Haven't you seen...
Did everyone know Kristen was pregnant?
Wasn't there a video of it?
No. Yeah, well, Drew, there's a still picture of the gender announcement.
Where?
Yeah.
Isn't that your Twitter banner?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, no. That was a picture that we took to announce, like... That was.
Here comes some bullshit.
Pull up your Twitter page.
God damn it. That was a picture that we took when we, you know, the first pictures you take when you're pregnant.
Wait, what? Seriously?
No, I get that.
We use those pictures to announce the pregnancy, I guess.
Oh yeah.
Just to announce the pregnancy.
Well,
wow.
We didn't know the gender then.
It's so common. It's hard to be your age. That's the point. I'm not knocking. I'm just saying, geez.
And the reason why I have this picture on my Twitter is because it's a good picture of little Bill. He's handsome as hell.
Wait, what's Bill wearing? I don't see what Bill.
That's just the announcement that.
That
she's pregnant.
Yeah, right underneath Bill, you can't see it on the Twitter picture, but right underneath Bill, there was actually an ultrasound picture.
That's right.
And
yeah.
So it basically, you see the bottom of Kristen's legs, my legs, and then you see Bill in the middle.
Yeah, Bill's the centerpiece of it all with the future baby.
That was the way that we announced that we were pregnant.
Oh, that was cool.
How jealous Trudy. Bill will be.
Good composition.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, Bill looks like he's into it there.
I'm not knocking it. I mean, it seems like...
There was a video,
These young people today, they are so into everything.
There was a video where everybody was in the backyard and drinking beers because it was a party.
Gender reveal.
Hooray!
Bellies were full because it was a great barbecue.
Gender reveal party.
And then Bill ran into the backyard wearing like a pink shirt. And so
was there any kind of announcement before he ran into the backyard?
No, it wasn't like,
please everybody assemble.
Can we get Marcus on the phone?
Announcing me.
Yeah, we gotta
was Marcus there?
We got to get Gary first.
Though. Marcus was there, but he was like, he wasn't in our yard. He was in his garage.
Oh, because... He's black.
What? No.
Is Marcus revealing something?
Marcus ended up hanging out with most of this guy's the entire night. The only thing is Marcus...
I thought you didn't allow him in the backyard because he's black.
God, oh my
no, God. He was hanging out in his garage at the time when Bill came back. In fact, I think Marcus saw Bill...
Did people think Marcus
first.
Was some kind of an announcement when he walked
everybody,
over?
Everybody call it cops on him.
Stop right now. Everybody loves Marcus.
How many other black people were at the gender reveal party?
I don't know. I'll have to do an inventory of who was there, I guess. But
Brandon's so trying to
every single person
it was a,
that
it was
came
a funny
there
concept.
Ended up talking
I know,
with Marcus.
I know
it's
you
a
love.
Joke.
I know you love Marcus, and it was just. It just seemed like a funny.
Oh, he's got
great idea.
He's got great new audio of Marcus. He was playing for me last night. Oh, no? Okay, I take it back. He doesn't
There's
have
no to audio.
No audio.
It was not captured. It was captured once. It was like it was Snapchat, apparently.
We'll get in touch with Marcus funny, soon, though. I promise. I have talked to him. He's got some family stuff going on right now.
Well, Marcus was fun on the show when he was on.
Oh, he's okay.
Right. I've never met him, but...
We're getting ready to call Gary Graff. I wanted to do another break and get it out of the way because we were a little late with our commercials last time. Let's see. What are we doing, Gary? Okay, we have time. The Greta Van Fleet tweet. The first comment is, this is a site that gave Yoko's album a 6.3. They gave Greta Van Fleet a 1.6.
Yoko a 6.3?
Yoko has an album?
Yoko's had many albums.
Then that's what they're about, stirring shit up. You're right. That's what they're supposed to do.
So there's some unpopular opinion. I despise that band. I'm glad someone else sees what I see. They rock in concert. One of my favorite shows I've seen in the past 5 years. It is a must-see. Damn, that's fucking harsh. I completely agree with this article. Good that they're playing rock and roll, but be yourself. Wear your influences on your sleeve, not wear their entire wardrobe. I think... What are we not allowed to have anything derivative anymore? Is that
everything's derivative of everything?
Right. So because I hear rap songs and I'm like, that sounds like the last song, 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 like the last song.
But everything's been done.
That's how the kid sings. It's not his fault. He sounds like the best rock singer of a generation. I, for one, think it's a breath of fresh air in this auto-tuned world.
Great comment.
Hashtag Greta Van Fleet. Pitchfork wouldn't know good music if it hit him in the nuts. Pitchfork blows. I agree with their criticism of GVF clearly knocking off Led Zeppelin with a straight face, but giving their album a trash score because of its classic sound is bullshit. I'm excited for things to come with this band. Both albums are terrific. The site embraces coffee houses and techno trash. Don't believe Pitchfork. Listen to yourself. See these boys are what rock and roll needs right now. Probably the same people that give Cardi B good reviews. Can we see? Do they review Cardi B?
Oh, I don't
I'm
know.
I'm sure. Well, I don't
that
know.
That wasn't an album. That's she just released a song.
Well, her last album, I meant.
Oh, have you heard that new song?
Oh,
yes. Did you watch the lyric video of it?
I read the lyrics.
It's pretty good. I think the underlying theme of the song Money is that she likes money.
She's breaking some new ground here because I don't think she's talked about money before. Oh, boy. And it's going straight to number one.
Probably.
So, hey, you know what? Whatever it is she's doing is working. So she is the zeitgeist.
Oh, my God. It is the number one thing on YouTube right now.
I know. I saw that today.
It's been out for a day. 6.2 million views.
Uh-oh.
One day. I was born to flex. Diamonds on my neck. I like boarding checks. I like more than sex. But nothing in this world that I like more than checks. Money. All I really want to see is the
money. Great message.
I don't really need a D, I need the money. All a bad bitch need is the money. I got pants in the coop.
Spend your money well. I don't even hear singing.
Well, it's not singing, it's rap.
This isn't a spending money contest.
Well, so her talent is the words, correct?
Yeah, they're still not very good.
So that's why, and the music is seems a bit limited.
She needs money.
But why would she change a thing? Everything she does turns to gold. So, I mean, I can't really criticize her because it works.
Well,
you know,
for a
she's
while.
26, and yeah, you know that's really what I was wondering. I was like, I wonder, is this something that will have staying power? I don't know, hip hop and rap seem to be awful hot. I mean, it's been a building thing for a long time too.
I think this is going to have to transcend though, if we're going to like it. If she's going to eventually get you on the hook.
Oh, she's not going. I don't think I'm to like rap music.
I believe Drake will probably survive for a long time.
Pitchfork did review Cardi B.
Oh, did they like it?
Well, Greta Van Fleet only got a 1.6 out of 10, but good news is Cardi B, 8.7.
Oh, see, that's... So that's her thing, is stirring stuff up.
Well, she sounds so unique. I mean, I don't think of anything when I hear her at all. Oh, boy. Well, Gary Graff in a second. When listeners report back to us after getting custom LASIK or the amazing multifocal lens implants at the Aldo Eye Center, most of the comments are familiar. Megan, I'm still amazed when I wake up and see the alarm clock in perfect focus. Or Jerry, who smiles twice a day when he remembers he doesn't have to put contacts in or take them out. And then the very controversial Keith, who says he doesn't worry about breaking his glasses when he wrestles with the dog. People are worried about Keith.
I'm worried about Keith, too.
The bottom line is custom LASIK or multifocal implants that my sister just got are life-changing. To be free of glasses, reading glasses, contacts, and see better than you have in a decade is a, in decades is a modern medical miracle. And Dr. Yaldo is Michigan's most honored and experienced eye surgeon. So do this. Call for a free evaluation. Decide later. Maybe you just need a new prescription or new glasses, and you can decide on surgery at another time. Eye exams are covered by conventional insurance. So there you go. Call 1-800-398-EYES, 1-800-398-EYES, or go to YaldoEyeCenter.com. I wonder if you can... They don't have frames there, do they? They wouldn't do that.
No, wouldn't.
That wouldn't make sense.
No.
I just thought maybe, because they say get your eye exam. I mean, you can get your eye exam anywhere, so that's always true.
I totally think they monofocus on...
Yeah. Pretty sure. I'll ask. And then...
they got blue blockers. I bet they got a bunch of those.
Sweet.
That you wear when you walk out.
Yeah. Maz has sold, I think he'd sold six cars in 3 days or something. It's amazing. And one of them was somebody from the marathon. All the other ones from the podcast.
Marathon.
I know. I was like, who? He sold cars in the marathon?
Well, he had
like,
an open mic.
True.
Hey, yeah, instead of running 26 miles, why don't you guys drive 26 miles in a brand new Ford?
Yeah. After you wave at me.
Hey, is there audio of that? Did you guys play?
I don't know. I wanted the RIP Mike Clark audio.
Well, I haven't seen it.
No anybody, audio?
I can't believe nobody recorded that, but I guess they were in the running
countdown.
Unis. So anyway, for the month of Rocktober, you can lease a new 18 Ford Escape for $57 a month. A brand new Ford Escape with a monthly payment less than the cost of candy you'll be handing out to the neighborhood brats on Halloween. Or if you need a truck to tote your load of goblins and jack-o'-lanterns, you can lease a new 18 Ford F-150 Supercab 4x4 as low as $105 a month. These squeamishly haunting deals will be gone before you know it, so slither your way to Zot Ford and see our zombie-rific friends to get your ghoulish new Ford Escape at $57 a month or your witchy Ford F-150 at $105 a month. Check out the bone-chilling deals and horrifying inventory at dealsnd.com. And then when you're on your way home and you're trying to figure out your finances, call Luke! Luke Nowacki. Whether you have $11 trillion or $3 and something in change saved up, it's important to have a plan in place when saving for retirement. Some people may believe it's never been worse, but the truth is there's never a bad time to reanalyze your current situation to achieve the retirement you want.
I think right now might be the best time.
Yeah, what'd the market do today?
All the gains from 2018 wiped out.
What are we at now?
24.5 for the Dow, I believe.
Well, that's like 2,000 points in
10
days.
The Nasdaq's officially in correction territory. 12% drop in the Nasdaq since August high.
Well, I know Luke. Yikes. Luke is a fan of the roller coaster, which we've been on.
Except today's, now's the time to get in if you can. But yeah.
Don't be economic girly man.
A lot of it dropped because earnings reports weren't as strong as people thought they might be with the tax cuts. Except Tesla killed it today.
Tesla? Oh, yeah, I heard they were 12%.
Big time, yeah.
Call Luke at 248-663-4748 for no obligation review of your financial strategy. But if things are on a downward slope, then there becomes a buying opportunity somewhere.
Most indicators are still pretty strong.
Security Investment Advisory Services offer through Signatory Investors Incorporated. Member FINRA SIPC, a registered investment advisor at 28411 Northwestern Highway, Southfield, Michigan, 48034, 248-663-4700. And Gary Graff time. Mr. Big Stuff from the Oakland Press. Graph on Music on Twitter. I've been enjoying Gary's Twitter. He tweets a lot of stuff I'm interested in, I have to say.
Fans got what they deserved at the Fox Theater.
He followed my advice, huh?
Hey, Gary.
We tried calling early. Instead, we're right on time.
Yeah, we are. We are right on time.
Yeah, well, I was trying to save you from your... from Cardi B. So.
Oh, God. That would have been nice. Yeah, I just listened to that. And, it's funny. Brandon looked up Pitchfork, who gave our own Greta Van Fleet a 1.6. They gave Cardi B an 8.7 on her last album.
Yeah. Well, first of all, a big part of this is Pitchfork is one outlet that really has no business touching Greta Van Fleet because it's not what they're about. It's not what their readership or their audience is about. I mean, it's... when you consider that and you look at the review, while some of the criticism is okay, and maybe even warranted and certainly justifiable, it's so clear when you read that that this was not, this was a piece that was either pitched or assigned as a hatchet job.
Yep.
It was not an honest assignment of, oh, let's listen to the Greta Van Fleet album and see what we think. You know, this was, like I say, Pitchfork is not at all what Greta Van Fleet is about or for. And somebody had an axe to grind.
Absolutely. It got a lot of attention. I've read reviews like that before, and I think, well, this is about the writer, not about the band.
Pretty much, or the publication and the band. I mean, you know, you want to compare Greta Van Fleet to The Darkness. You know, they're not trying to be The Darkness. They're not trying to be Radiohead. You know, they are what they are, and, you know, you have to take that at face value and judge it on that value. It really read like the writer is in one of these 70s tribute bands that he mentions at the end and is just pissed off that Van Fleet got the big label deal and not his band.
Oh, geez.
I mean, that's really what it reads from. And like I say, it's not so much that the writer doesn't like the album. Fine. You know, but you can just tell from reading it that it's a hit job. It was conceived as a hit job or assigned, you know, with that in mind. It was not at all a matter of, you know, let's put the album on and see what we think.
Well, it was sent to me by multiple people, and because I like Greta Van Fleet, they sound like good guys. I love that they're playing rock and roll. I love they're from Michigan. And it made me listen to the record because, like, it can't be that bad. And so it sort of did what I guess it's supposed to do. It got a lot of attention, and I pretty much enjoy what I listen to. This kid sounding like Robert Plant, sorry, you can't make up that voice.
No, that's the thing. You know, the idea that this band is a creation of some sort.
Or an algorithm.
Right, yeah. I mean, you know, okay. You know, no, this kind of, you know, Greta Van Fleet kind of happened as they happened and as they grew and listened to music and everything. And listen, Josh could sing Justin Bieber songs or Bread songs or Barry Manilow songs or Mariah Carey songs, and he's still going to sound like Robert Plant singing those songs. That's his voice. And, you know, will it change and evolve over time? Certainly it will, and he'll learn different kind of phrasings and maybe, as he gets older, you know, adopt a different kind of tone to the voice. But it's certainly not a dishonest voice. You know, he comes by it because that's the voice that's in his throat.
So on a scale of 1 to 10, they said a 1.6, which is pretty ugly, but that's obviously, they clearly set out to do something crummy. How would you grade it, Gary?
I'd give it somewhere around a 7 or a 7.5. A lot of the stuff that Pitchfork hated, I actually like in music in general. You know, some of the more ambitious tendencies, the indulgences, or I like that we have 6-minute songs like, you know, Age of Man or Lover Leaver, Take or Believer. You know, I like to hear bands stretch out like that and be a little bit honestly indulgent in what they're doing. So I think there's room to grow, and I think the guys in Greta Van Fleet, and in fact they have told me they know there's room to grow. It's not like that would come as a newsflash to anybody, but I think you listen to the album and you can hear growth from the two EPs, you know, that they did.
Yeah.
And I think they're on a, you know, they're on a good track. They do have a voice of their own. They wear their influences a little more on their sleeves than they probably will in 5 or 10 years.
And they're young enough to have time to evolve and mature into something.
It's kind of, you know, this is kind of, in a way, this will be a valuable lesson of, welcome to the big leagues, guys. It's been a charmed life up till now. Elton John likes you. The guys in Led Zeppelin are saying nice things about you. You're getting all sorts of good gigs. You know, you're going to run up against somebody or something that's going to knock you down a few pegs, and learn to roll with it and just keep focused and do what you do.
Gary, you've been doing this a long time. I was just trying to think of some of the records.
You think I'm old?
Well, you're my age. We're pretty close. Yeah, we're old. Okay. Led Zeppelin got really bad reviews. Can you think of some albums, some great albums that got terrible reviews when they came out? I know there's a bunch of them. It's a long, long list.
I mean, Fleetwood Mac, Tusk, you know, comes to mind.
Great album.
some of the Eagles stuff got bad reviews. I just saw a screening of the Bohemian Rhapsody film.
Oh.
And one of the things they did in the middle of it was they flashed lines from all the reviews that tore the song Bohemian Rhapsody apart.
Oh, cool.
You know, so that's definitely, you know, one of them. But yeah, they are, you're definitely in good company when you get trashed.
Ram, of course, one of my favorite albums by Paul McCartney, got one of the worst reviews I've ever seen by John Landau, who had become Springsteen's manager, and they re-reviewed it when he re-released it from, I think it was 1 star to 4.5 stars. So,
you know, it's interesting. Sometimes it's interesting what time does, and time and context, too.
Yeah.
Ram was a classic case, and Tusk in a way, too. Albums that were a little ahead of their time, before the audience, both the critical audience and the mass audience, were really ready to receive what they did.
And Ram followed the Beatles, Tusk followed Rumors. So.
Right, yeah. So, you know, you're always laboring against the past. And, you know, that's going to happen.
Well, do I dare ask how you reviewed Tusk?
You know, I was in college at the time, and I did. I gave it a pretty middling review. but, you know, as I still had it a few years ago when the box set came out. And went back to look at it, and I felt like I was fair. I mean, I think I acknowledged that, you know, it had a big job following up Rumors. It had huge expectations. And clearly, one guy in particular wanted to do something else other than the second, you know, Rumors too. And that's going to be tough for the audience to accept and to ingest. You know, some of it's really interesting. Some of it sounded at the time like it was coming from Mars. And now we listen to it, and that's what, you know, a bunch of punk and new wave bands did after. That's what the Pixies did. So, you know, time is usually an asset to an ambitious work like that. Radiohead, too. I remember when Kid A came out, and people were like, what the hell is this? And now it's a classic.
The song Tusk alone, to me, is worth the album. That song is so cool. I love that song.
It's cool. It's, you know, sometimes it's okay if something varies a little bit from the norm and is just a fun listening experience. It doesn't have to make sense.
Well, isn't that Bohemian Rhapsody, though? Didn't it vary from everything?
Case in point, Bohemian Rhapsody, although there's a lot of melody going on in Bohemian Rhapsody, and there are things that make sense. The individual components make sense. Put together, it's holy crap. But you know, it's a ride. You know, it's a sonic ride, and sometimes it's okay to just take that and not have to worry about how valid it is.
I had fun reading old reviews for Led Zeppelin, and honestly, I couldn't believe it. I thought, really? After 3 albums, people are still trashing Led Zeppelin? Because they were selling a ton of records. They were the biggest band in the world.
That's one of the reasons people didn't like them back then. If you sold a lot of records, you were a bad guy.
Yeah. I guess that's true.
You know, coming out of the hippie aesthetic, the late 60s, Led Zeppelin was the first 70s band. They were, in a lot of ways, the first recording industry band. You know, that was a put together band, not by the industry, but by Jimmy Page, kind of an all-star band, but with an eye on creating a sound that would sell to, and not just the masses, but the American masses.
We talked a little bit about Page. Why? Because I'm so blown away by, first of all, his studio work. He's on so many great records playing guitar, and he's a great producer. And he was with the Yardbirds and then Led Zeppelin. And then I confound myself with, why couldn't he do more after Led Zeppelin? Just something.
You know, but how do you follow up a body of work like Led Zeppelin? You know, even look at the individual Beatles, save for Ringo, who was buried in the Beatles. It took, and George, who never got enough songs on the Beatles, so he had them all for a triple album as soon as he was
Which is incredible. I love that record.
It took John and Paul quite a while to really find their footing as solo artists. And I don't think, with a few exceptions like an Imagine or a Band on the Run, you know, never rose to the levels of what you did in that band. And I think there's still a part of Jimmy Page that is just, doesn't know how to follow up what he did in Led Zeppelin.
But Lennon, Harrison, and McCartney had like 50 albums. Jimmy Page had, what, four or five?
Well, he had one solo album, and then he had a couple soundtracks, and then he had, like, Coverdale Page and The Firm.
Oh,
and,
I forgot about Coverdale Page.
And that stuff. A lot of people forgot about Coverdale Page for very good reasons.
Were there a couple songs we played from that? Weren't there radio songs on that?
Radio did play it at the time for a very short amount of time,
though. Oh, it was awful.
That's terrible. Well, neither one of them were in particularly good shape at the time, either.
Yeah. What was wrong with Jimmy?
Jimmy had his substance issues still.
The same one, or was it booze by then?
Probably all the above.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize it went on that long.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, that'll hold you up.
That'll do you.
The Firm, just, I don't know, I can't believe Jimmy Page is even in that band.
Well, you know, that was, that. You know, they
that should have been that, good.
That band had moments that were really, really good. It just, I think it was, rushed. You know, it's let's do this quick, let's get it out now. If they had taken even another month, you know, writing and recording, it might have risen to the heights that it should have given the talent involved.
It's just, I guess it's strange to me to think that Robert Plant did a lot more than Jimmy Page on his own.
Yeah,
I mean, a lot more that we know.
But that's the case of being the junior partner. You know, when you finally do come out from under the shadow,
yeah.
it's easier. You know, a lot of people have a kind of set expectation of Jimmy Page, what he should do and what he should sound like. They don't have the same thing with Robert Plant, and I think that worked to his benefit.
I did love that Black Crows with Jimmy Page. God, that sounded great.
Yeah, that was really, really good.
That actually seems like something that should fly and continue to.
Do it again. Come on. One more time. One more time around, guys.
Cut it up. What are the Robinson brothers doing? Well, I mean, only one of them could be in the band, but
the Robinson brothers.
Yeah.
Well, no. Well, you have Rich, the guitarist, is doing Magpie Salute with a few of the other Black Crows, and that's, you know, if you're the Black Crows fan, that's the band you go
for.
And whereas Chris is out there, Chris Robinson, the singer, is out there
doing his
take on the Grateful Dead thing.
Yeah.
Which is actually really good, but you have to have a taste for that.
Right.
Gary, I read your review of Roy Orbison's Hologram. First of all, I want to compliment you for going. You go to so many shows, and it really shows in your reviews that you're there and you have a lot to say about it. And I was wondering about this. I wonder if our other local scribes who write about music, do they go to all these shows you go to?
I don't see them there, and you probably get the chance to read them more than I do, just because I'm doing this.
We're too busy reading your story.
You can tell me better. I mean, you know, there were some at Nine Inch Nails the last couple nights, certainly. It'll be interesting when we 21 Pilots tonight, which is a big show. Be interesting to see who's there.
So your vision is so tunnel you can't see the other people at the shows.
I see them when they're there, you know, when they're spilling beer on me and stuff. You know?
Okay.
Yeah. When we're all passing the bong at the shows.
Well, it sounds like you would have seen them at Roy Orbison because there was plenty of...
Yes, I would have. I saw every single person that was at Roy Orbison.
You mentioned...
I felt like I talked to them on the way out. That was the interesting thing about that show is people... For as small a crowd as it was, people really wanted to talk about that.
And
the reason I went was because we're going to see more of these.
Yeah, Amy Winehouse is next, right?
This is the new hook. Amy Winehouse, BB King, you could put up there in a hologram. They're talking about a Michael Jackson one. Ronnie James Dio's out in Europe. Well,
Do you think
Hendrix will be here?
Time you guys played some Ronnie James Dio.
Is the lack of attendance because it was Roy Orbison or because it was a hologram?
Combination of Roy Orbison, a little bit of the hologram. Saturday night of the Michigan State game.
Yeah, that too.
There were a lot of reasons.
How much was the ticket?
I don't know.
Gary doesn't pay. Are you kidding? Don't ever ask Gary that question.
I slip in through the manhole in the men's room.
So out of all those future hologram shows that are coming, do you think one is going to do really well over the others?
I think if they do the Hendrix one right, make it part of that, you know, that experience Hendrix show that goes out.
Yeah.
Throw it on there for like three songs at the end. And I think people would really accept that.
Only do three Jimmy?
Can you get an all-star band to play with Jimmy's
all-star dead band?
That's the idea. You get all these guys, you know, you get all these guys who are part of the tour to jam with the hologram. What I really want to know, and I, you know, because that entire orchestra on stage were all local hires except the drummer. I want to know what it looked like from behind. I mean, were they looking at Roy's tush, or what did they see? You know, and could they see the crowd through Roy like I could see some of the musicians?
I know you mentioned that you'd see an arm or something behind Roy right through him.
It was pretty weird. Well, yeah.
That's really weird.
Isn't that part of the problem, though, is that most of them are local musicians and it's not this touring band?
Like, they don't know not to walk behind the hologram.
Because
They were seated. It was a fly in the hologram, but it wasn't a solid image.
How embarrassing.
Oh,
but when
crazy.
We were talking about that, you know, we talked the Amy Winehouse story at Broken. It, like, when they do that tour, are they going to have a good band like she performed with? Or is it going to be...
You hope. Yeah.
I mean...
Roy had one musician, the drummer, travel with him. Gary, yeah. I just have to ask, how minuscule was the crowd?
I would say it was half or slightly less than half of the main floor only.
Ooh.
Oh,
so
boy.
Nothing upstairs.
Ouch.
Yeah, oh yeah. Oh. No, it was, you know. Mm.
So
I feel bad for the hologram now.
It didn't seem to faze him. And the weirdest thing is the way it rose from the floor, and then when it went away, it was like
it was like
a Harry Potter thing when they you know, when they apparate or something. It was
so crazy. Oh my God!
I want to see someone do it
like beaming down like Star Trek or something.
No, it came up. It came up rather than beam
remember.
Down.
Pop star, Never Stop, Never Stopping, when he had the Adam, was it Adam Levine hologram, and he had a bunch of people there. He was having sex with it. Yeah. That's what artists need to do. Have other people holograms up there.
Could there be a tour with more than one hologram, though?
Oh,
is
sure.
That technically...
just like there's more than one of the, you know, you go out to see the Legends live in concert or whatever, you know, and it's all imitators. You know, why not? Why can't you have? What about, I mean, one thing that crossed my mind, so how about doing, now the Kiss is saying farewell again, the next time you see them is holograms with live pyro.
Ooh.
Oh.
Well, I mean,
it's no one can get hurt.
The Kiss Army will always go, won't they?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, I saw this thing on YouTube. I felt so stupid. It was Elvis on stage, and Jimmy Page was playing guitar. I'm like, when did Elvis, and is that possible? Because I knew they'd met. They went to an Elvis show, and there's a long story about that Robert Plant tells. And they realized they were impersonators.
Oh,
I was like, oh, my God, you ass.
They could do that with holograms. Oh, you know what they could do with holograms? They could recreate famous shows if you want to go back in time to see a famous show.
How about Woodstock, a whole weekend of holograms?
Okay, so Woodstock is coming back in 2019. We were reading about it. It's in Kansas?
Yeah, what are they doing for Woodstock 50?
You know, you need a field.
Yeah.
You know, I bet you can find one in Kansas easier than most other places.
Have you heard anything
all
about
field.
It? Will it?
I've heard rumblings. I don't believe it's a done deal yet.
Oh.
But will it be big with major?
Sure. Yeah, that'll be, you know, it'll be acts of the time. You know,
okay.
they'll get a few of the, you know, maybe whatever originals are still around. You know, if you say Woodstock, Carlos Santana's there before you finish saying Wood. You know, and so is Richie Havens. So you can get, I think it'll be a mix of the two. But yeah, they'll put out the money if they have the backing.
Do you think they'll add bands like the Foo Fighters or more?
Oh,
recent?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Greta Van Fleet. Why not?
Yeah.
It'll be the
so it's
the
like Bonnaroo.
The thing is now, though, Woodstock is just a name. We have Bonnaroo. We have Lollapalooza in Chicago. We have Coachella. You have all these. The big summer weekend destination festival is not as unique anymore as it was even for Woodstock 99.
Have you been to all of them?
At one time or another.
If there
was not regularly, you could kill your whole summer.
Yeah.
You know, between the go, you know, travel, attend, recover.
Is there, one that maybe rises above the other ones?
I think the ones that come up, you know, Bonnaroo, Lollapalooza, Coachella, Outside Lands in San Francisco. You know, those are kind of the cream of the crop, and those are the ones that have the money and have the backing to really be. And they also have the vision. You know, their organizers figure out how to do special things every year.
Mark's trying to decide which one to go to.
I want to go to one. I just
anyone,
don't.
You know, throw a dart and pick
I want,
any one of them.
I'd want it to land on Glastonbury, though.
Glastonbury. Glastonbury is a fun one, but I will tell you that is physically one of the most arduous.
Oh,
a lot of walking.
You will go to, because it's always muddy.
Yeah.
You know, even if it's sunshine.
Lots of flags in the air to look through.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's a real, it's a little nation there.
Hmm. How about Tomorrowland? Should I go to that one?
That's not a bad one either. I'll tell you what.
Where's Tomorrowland?
Belgium.
Belgium. Wow.
It's all the EDM.
I'd send somebody in a heartbeat to Electric Forest, you know, that we have here in Michigan. Yeah. That's a good festival.
Although people disappear.
But would they know where they were when they came?
Yeah, what's the story with Electric Forest? People disappear from Electric Forest?
It's a thing, apparently.
It is?
Maybe, you know, or is that a myth that it doesn't hurt to have out there?
Well, that one guy wants to.
One guy did, yeah.
Yeah, they can't find him. Another guy, they couldn't find him for like a week, and then he was in Alabama.
Yeah, they spent a week at the White Lodge and then came back to us.
Those things are always. You get enough people in one place, and something crazy is going to happen.
Sure.
Gary, so how was the Queen movie?
Disappointing.
Oh.
Got to tell you, I went into it wanting to like it, wanting to come out talking about Academy Awards, and it didn't do it. Now, you know, part of it is maybe I'm the wrong guy to go into a movie like that because I know too much, and every one of the factual and historical errors just. And if I had a dollar for every one of them, that lotto prize the other night would look like nothing.
Well, what was the biggest one? Yeah,
you know, the couple of the biggest ones was the, you know, they show them on their first U.S. tour after Killer Queen hit, playing Fat Bottom Girls on stage.
Oh, come on!
None of which worked. They also the thing they made about Live Aid, the big deal was how they were the last band added and had to be sandwiched in, and it was their first gig after temporarily breaking up because Freddie made his solo album and all this stuff. Completely, utterly, across the board wrong.
Wow.
Virtually everything about it.
Huh.
You know, they show, you know, the telephone room where the pledges were coming in with no phones ringing until Queen went on.
Oh, come on.
You know, I'm shocked because, you know, Brian May and Roger Taylor were part of this, and how do you let these blatant, really egregious and unforgivable errors happen?
Wow.
On top of that, as a movie, it feels long, it moves too slow. Rami is not the kind of Fred Mercury that, like, Joaquin Phoenix was, Johnny Cash, or Jamie Foxx was, Ray Charles. Not even close. Not even in the same country code, much less zip code.
Wow.
You know, it's really kind of a stiff, slow-moving movie. You don't feel any humanity. You don't feel touched by it at all. You know,
Wow, you sounded like Pitchfork.
Jeez, I hope the embargo's over.
Oh, it is. Yeah, no, the embargo ended yesterday.
To sum it up for Gary.
I would rather pack my rectum full of M80s and squat over a flaming hibachi than see this movie.
I felt like that's what I did.
I saw that they have a soundtrack coming out, though. What is on the soundtrack? Is it anything
bunch,
we
have? A bunch of Queen's greatest hits.
Anything we haven't heard or anything new or different?
Nah, it's just a companion album to the movie.
Dumb.
I think they need a Freddie Mercury hologram because nobody's quite measured up to it yet.
They used it for the, what was the name of the musical, the Queen musical? Was it We Will Rock You?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
Anyway, so in one of the London shows, he appeared in like a crowd. Like they had the hologram walk through a crowd.
Whoa.
And if you were there and noticed it, great. If you didn't, they didn't make that big a deal out of it at the time.
Cool, like his ghost.
But I don't see, you know, I don't see Brian. I think, you know, for a hologram to work, like, everybody who was involved has to be gone. I don't see Brian May and Roger Taylor touring with a Queen hologram. Yeah. Although there are, you know, when they do these shows with Adam Lambert, which are great, instead of having Adam Lambert duet with Freddie on the screen, which they do for a couple songs, why not have him duet with the hologram?
Cool.
Regarding Queen and Under Pressure, I saw that in your review that the Foo Fighters covered that song. How was the Foo Fighters show? Who did they bring on stage this time?
It's funny. Dave made a crack about how, Foo Fighters shows are becoming like The Price is Right. they keep bringing people on the stage. So this time, though, they did bring a young boy and his dad just to sit by the drum riser. Oh. And I love the way Dave did it. He was like, they brought the boy up. They said, and his dad, yeah, you, do you want him up here with me for the next 2 hours? and the show itself is fun. You know, they're indulgent to a fault, but it's fun. And it's just a big, loud rock and roll show.
Yeah.
You know, you don't go looking for great art there. They have great songs that they don't perform particularly well because they're screaming them.
Hmm.
But, you know, it's just a crazy rock and roll show.
Do they do many covers?
They do. Sometimes they do more than they did in the show we saw.
Like, what are they covering?
Oh, they'll do anything. I mean, I've heard them do Led Zeppelin. I've heard them do Kiss. Vanilla Ice, as yeah. well as Queen. You know, they'll throw stuff out. You know, anything that they can think of when the spirit hits them.
They Rickrolled the crowd too. They did him.
Oh, yeah, they
for
did.
A while.
They, did, they did it with Rick,
and he did right. them.
That's funny.
That was really funny.
I saw.
Yeah, so you got to, you know, listen. The Foo Fighters in concept are a wonderful thing.
Well, Gary, thanks so much. Graphon Music on Twitter, if you want to follow Gary. You're a good follow. I've been picking up a lot of your stuff. And
I appreciate it. I do appreciate that.
Absolutely. And Oakland Press always. And we'll talk soon.
Very, very nice tweet about Mike Clark, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Thanks for putting that out there. Still feeling that one.
Oh, yeah. That was a great story, Gary.
All right. Well, thanks. And thanks for helping with it with the information.
No problem.
All right, we'll talk again soon.
Okay, Gary. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You see that Jeff Lynne is coming back again?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
I know. Does a great show, I gotta say.
I know. I'm just bummed I missed it. Now I'm gonna want to go see this one, but I'll probably won't, and I'll be bummed that I missed the second one.
I can't believe
bumness.
How far
somebody
ahead.
Has to roofie me and take me to shows. That's all there is to
me
it.
Too.
They announced Yellow so far ahead.
Yeah.
When it came, I was like, what? I agreed to go to the show. I forgot I agreed to go to this show.
Yeah.
And then now it's July 28th, I think.
Is that when it is?
Yeah, it's July, I think.
Lord, who can prepare that far?
I know,
advance?
It's insane.
I mean, I'll probably have, a year and a half pictures to take. But.
Well, we found out about this one in August that just happened. We found out about this...
Way long ago.
Yeah, really early in the year. In fact, I wanted to go, and Bentley really wanted to go. I think Bentley might have went.
He did.
He did.
Yeah. He invited me.
I was very
took
jealous.
A friend.
I wanted to go, and
instead
I missed
you?
It.
I know.
Was my fault.
But one day, I told Mark about this. One day, I had taken a nap on like a Sunday afternoon or something like that, and I fell asleep, and on HBO played the Wembley, Jeff Lynne's ELO, the concert. It was basically the concert.
Oh, really? Yeah.
They had it on HBO, and I fell asleep during it. I don't remember even really watching most of it, but I woke up, and for about a month, all I could... my head was stuck ELO, and I would just be singing ELO all the time. And not even the good tune. I was singing Telephone Line.
Oh, gross.
They played it.
From the beginning,
I think
like,
they did.
They
played
hello?
All their hits. Hello, yeah, how are you?
One of their worst big right? hits.
I think I guess Texetless FM now. I can't. Somehow, for some reason, I don't remember it, but it seems like they'd have to play that. That was a huge hit. They played Showdown and... couple Wilbury songs and Roll Over Beethoven.
This particular one was stuck in my head.
Oh, there it is. Well, they played it there. They played it here. They got to play that. Evil Woman.
Really cool light show.
I forget how many hits they have. Yeah, the light show was really good.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Pretty good.
Fine.
How are you?
Have you been all right? Through all those lonely, 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 lonely nights.
How'd you know?
That's what I'd say. I tell you everything.
He still sounds great.
Yeah.
He does. Really sounded good.
And he has a fantastic, like, everybody on stage is singing, but they're like mic'd down really, really low.
Yep.
So when they're all singing together, it sounds like that classic ELO, that big noise.
Wait, why was that couple dancing cheek to cheek?
Slow dancing.
Yeah, I noticed they had I believe, 7 open mics on stage.
Yes.
There were 7 people singing harmonies, and it sounded just right.
You'll hear it when you get the doobie doobie wops, which was stuck in my head for a whole damn month.
And it will be stuck in it for another month now.
Well, we played Jonah Falcon yesterday. That gets pretty stuck, too.
Yeah.
They didn't play Overture what's it called? Overture 10538, I think, which was really the first. Do you remember that, Trudy? With the two guys playing the
cello.
I guess it's the cello back to back.
Really?
When they first, the ELO just came charging out with that. It's a great song. Can you find Overture? Overture 10538 ELO. Because they were the Move with Roy Wood and Jeff Lynne, and they were pretty big in the UK. And then all of a sudden, Jeff said, "I have a new vision," and it was ELO. And Roy Wood was on the first album, I think. And Roy Wood was a pretty significant contributor in the Move, and I think he was on the first record, but was kind of
out.
Sort of faded. Yeah, out after that. And I couldn't believe Roy Wood didn't play at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Although maybe he's just too old. I don't know. You don't remember this?
I do.
Overture 10538. Yeah.
Now that sounds like the Beatles.
I think John Lennon said that they were, what did he say, son of the Beatles or something like that. He had some smart remark about ELO. They liked ELO, though.
I like them, too. I don't get me wrong. I just was hooked on David Bowie and Queen back then, and I sort of obsessed on all that. And so I knew all their songs. And I was surprised in that documentary, though, that the first album, they're like, we made this album. It just went that, nothing happened. And I loved Keep Yourself Alive. I can remember loving that from the
beginning. Oh, yeah. Great, great tune. Jeff Lynne he's like the, I don't know, was he like the eighth Beatle maybe? Mm-hmm. Because he produced Cloud Nine for George, which is brilliant. God, that's a great album. And has Got My Mind Set on You, which was a huge hit, and the record did well. And then he was in the Wilburys with George.
Right.
And his production, if Jeff Lynne's involved, it's just got a certain sound to it. And then he's on Flaming Pie with McCartney, and Flaming Pie was one of McCartney's better records. And he produced Ringo.
And that album that Tom Petty had made without the Heartbreakers, Jeff Lynne was basically doing all the other instruments and producing it aside from Tom Petty.
George Harrison's on it too?
But I didn't know that, and didn't that have a lot of big hits? Like Free Fallin', maybe?
Yep. It was the record that the band's, it sucks, Tom! You suck without the band!
Wrong.
Yeah, big time.
Wrong.
Big time wrong. I thought that was odd that they would openly express that they didn't like it. I mean, I understand it's not in their best interest
sour
to
grapes.
Like it.
Sour grapes.
Sounds like sour grapes. Ooh, we have Ted Petchel.
You know what? I cannot. Oh, you mean his phone number or just the drop?
The drop would be a starter.
I got to look for him again.
Sounds like sour grapes.
Sorry, so sour grapes about this.
Ted reviewing the Red Wings and New Jersey. Yeah. Wasn't it New Jersey?
Oh, you know what? I think you're right.
Yeah, because he was from there, and he was a big
Ted,
New Jersey.
Where you at?
Big New Jersey Devils fan.
Was it that? Yeah, whatever.
I thought he was a big Devils fan.
He was great. Wonder how Thomas is doing. Hey, Regis.
Did you guys see the?
You know what's funny about that? That was the first time a openly gay guy, flamboyantly gay, was out there on TV, and now it's like no. It's,
I know that was
totally cool.
It was Regis was really thrown
freaked
off?
Out.
His
Regis
game.
Was freaked out.
He was.
Regis?
Remember? Yeah. Remember Ted Padge? He's like, what are you going to do with all the money? He's talking about buying a dozen pairs of shoes and all this. Regis' response was, okay, fine. He was so flipped out.
Ted was a good contestant, though.
He was awesome. Huh. Love Ted Padge.
Do you remember?
Love him.
So somebody
Regis. That was Thomas.
What would you do if you won the $1 million?
Pay off all the bills and splurge and go get a dozen pairs of shoes at once.
All right, fine. All right, good.
All right, good.
All right, fine. Right. He did not know what to say.
Is there sorry he's so sour
sorry,
grapes
so
about
sour
this?
Grapes. I don't think I have the sour grapes.
Oh, man.
What was he sorry? Who was sour grapes?
What was someone sour grapes about? I can't even.
I don't remember.
It's unimportant.
We were talking about before the show, another Mike Clark drop.
Yes.
That emerged from somebody's memories through email was, he so loves her.
Oh,
about
yeah.
Sharon Osbourne. Yes. He so loves her.
And
how that became a drop.
It was so unbelievably genuine on Mike's part when he said it.
Deeply regretted saying
yes.
it.
We were laughing too about the Kindle. Remember his obsession with the Kindle when it came out?
Oh, yeah.
Small and light.
Flip it around.
Flip it around. What do you flip it around? So ridiculous.
He was obsessed with its lightness. Okay, a couple things. I want to get to the real news of the day, I guess. But first, I wanted to mention this story last night that I was reading right after the show. And it just kept getting dumber. I was like, wait, the story can't get dumber. It just can't. And it did. It starts out with, there's this video that allegedly was viral. I still haven't seen the whole video, but it was this woman who was a bit heavy, but she was at a Patriot prayer breakfast or something. Yeah. I mean, I don't even know what that is. But the funny thing is, somebody knew what it was because there were protesters. There was some guy that was, I guess, protesting the Patriot prayer breakfast, and he accused this woman who was at the thing of being in his way, of blocking him. And she said, no, I'm just going with the traffic. I'm crossing the street. Oh, here we go.
Hey, good for him. Good.
We have two, you douchebags.
Aw. I don't know why they have to have
the music.
Good.
I mean, this thing just...
NYPD were a bunch of sodomizing immigrants with their bully sticks. So yeah, your husband probably rotten in the grave.
I thought they used plungers.
Yeah.
On Luala, what was his name?
Abner Luima.
Abner Luima. Okay, yeah. Wow. How crazy that I can't.
Yeah, that was.
I can't remember the full name of the man who was plunged in the ass.
He was Luimed.
He was.
Later became a.
Oh my God! What happened? Can we?
He's
look
doing
up
great
Abner
now.
What's
yeah,
what
he's
is
running
he doing?
For office?
Abner Luima?
Oh, I don't know. Made that up.
Can you look him up, Brandon? Anyway, so this guy just tears into this woman about I won't beat you like your cop husband will, which is like, what? Because she's at Patriot prayer breakfast. Her husband's a cop who beats her up. And I don't even know what he's protesting. I don't even understand it. Mm-hmm. But she turns around and says, my husband died on 9/11. He's like, oh, I hope he rots in hell. Yeah. And he just wouldn't
said,
leave.
Good.
Good,
I got to tell you, the look of disdain. A guy
you
being so...
Dick.
Confrontational and talking that way to a strange woman he doesn't even know. There's something so disgusting about that. Anyway, so within, I don't know how long, but very short time after the viral video goes out, the man who's being such a dick is identified as a professional skateboarder. And it's like, you know, the world then descends on him. And within 24 hours, this guy's like, wait a second, that's not me. And he spends the next 2 days clearing his name, going, it's not me. After, I mean, just being completely nailed by everyone online. And then someone, just as people are starting to believe the skateboarder, because he does look like the guy, this charity, I can't think of the charity, but it's a big charity, comes out and says, oh, that asshole, he works for us and he's fired. And it was like, oh, bam, bam, okay.
Dumb.
The world is right again. But then it comes out. Then it comes out. I mean, this thing isn't dumb enough yet. It comes out that the widow of the 9/11 guy did not lose anyone in 9/11.
Oh, my God.
She didn't even live in New York. So it's like, oh, my God, this is so stupid. I don't even know what to do with myself.
It just got
is that a version of Stolen Valor?
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah. Kind of
assuming.
Although, you know, when someone is giving you that much shit, I suppose it's just a comeback, kind of a cheap comeback. I don't know. I mean, maybe she's been fired too. Who knows?
Well, they're.
Wow. Has the skateboarder been restored?
No, he's been fired too.
To his job as a skateboarder?
Yes. How ridiculous.
You know how much money Abner Luima got?
Was it $40 million?
No.
How much?
He got,
Oh, where'd it go, balls?
Wait, he was plunged 40 times. There's a 40 in the story. There's a 40 in the story somewhere. Oh, sorry. No.
5.8 million.
Okay.
After
settling for 8.75, so that's how much the lawyers got.
I hate to ask, is there a 40 in the story?
Yeah, 40, that's
41 times.
How many times?
No, there's a guy. The times the guy was shot.
Oh, that's the other guy. Oh,
you think 41 strokes?
I can't keep
the punch.
My police abuse stories in New York straight.
What was that dude's name?
Oh boy,
I don't know. Filter did the song, right?
Diallo.
Oh, that was a different guy. Yeah.
Amadou Diallo and then Abner Louima.
And the guy in the Filter song is, what is that guy's name?
Oh, that's
name?
Bud Dwyer. Former treasurer of the state of Pennsylvania who decided to shoot himself on
the live. All these are glommed together in Drew's head as one person.
I know. I could sworn there was a 40 in the Abner Louima story, but I guess not.
I think that's the Diallo story. He was shot,
yeah, 40, shot 40 times or 41 times.
Not in the ass.
Wait.
Well, maybe in the ass.
I might have found a number for Ted Patchell if you want
like,
to try.
Hey, Bud, nice shot or something? What was
it? Said, hey, man, nice shot. Oh, hey, that's nice the shot. Bud Dwyer. Yeah.
Hey, Bud, nice shot. What the fuck is wrong with me?
Doesn't have quite the same panache.
Hey, Bud, nice shot.
Do you want to try Ted Patchell?
Yes, absolutely.
Maybe he knows about Alex Rodriguez's under-the-table payments.
Maybe the most ridiculous claim ever made on the show.
I think he believed it.
That's why I say, hey, bud, nice shot.
Hey, dude, nice shot.
Nice shot, bud. That's why I say, hey, bud, nice shot. What a good shot, bud.
I think it works.
What's this song?
It's a good song. What's the guy's name that does this? What's Filter? Who's Filter?
Patrick.
I don't remember his name.
Ted Patrick.
I saw him in a documentary, and it was about, I think it was about secondary players in bands, like guys that just go on a tour with somebody, that sort of thing. And it was the big part of the story was, Billy Joel's guys who he treated like dog shit.
Sorry about that.
It's okay. No, it's all right.
Richard Patrick.
And the guy from No Filter, Richard Patrick.
No Filter.
No Filter. This is I got to drop the subject.
That's the band. No Filter.
Save Eli Zarrett podcast. God damn it.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Ted? Is this Ted Patchell? Ted, this is the Drew and Mike show in Detroit. We were just talking about you on our podcast, and we're hoping this was you. Do you think it's Ted's number, Mike?
I think it very well should be. Could be.
Anyway, just wanted to relive Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and see what you're up to. But we had some audio of you, and it was great to hear your voice. So please call us if you get this in the next 45 minutes or so. If not, maybe try tomorrow around this time. Hope you're doing okay, Ted, and hope Thomas is okay, too. See ya.
Bye.
Ted, where you at?
What a great drop.
Okay. Remember, didn't Ted Patchell end up on a few game shows, too, after that?
I think he did.
Yeah.
And he was in gay bowling tournaments.
That's right.
Which blew our minds.
What, that there were
gay bowling
tournaments?
Gay people bowled.
I told you about that time I went bowling, and it was during gay bowling night. Did I tell you that story?
I know, it's ridiculous, but it just didn't seem like a gay activity to me.
I don't know.
It's a gay activity.
It's fashionable.
I don't know. I didn't mean like as in femmy. Gays only do femmy things. I just, I don't know. I think I think it's actually me putting gays on a higher plane.
wasn't there something when John Waters was on The Simpsons? Was there something bowling related? I don't know. Maybe I'm confusing my Simpson episodes.
Well,
We're all over the place.
I'll try to do the Filter thing one more time. Patrick Stewart played with 9-inch nails.
Really?
Yes, he did. And he was describing how...
Wait, Patrick Stewart, the...
The Filter guy.
Oh, that's Richard Patrick. Patrick Stewart.
Why did I even try?
Yeah, Captain Picard.
Professor X.
Whoever the Filter guy is. Whoever the fuck he is.
Richard Patrick, but...
He played with Trent Reznor, and he was involved in a lot of 9-inch nail stuff. But he was... he sort of implied that, yeah, it was a creative force and we came up with stuff, but it was really, he was the leader and he kind of took all the credit. And I went on a tour and was paid squat. And it was a real shitty deal. And it was like, okay, I'm never going to be shit if I don't have my own thing. And then he more or less, I think the way he described it was he started Filter and he paid people dog shit to help him.
Nice. Wow.
So the cycle continued.
Dick. And where was he when Nine Inch Nails was at? The Fox? They were the Fox.
Question.
Fox, two nights in a row.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did they have, what was their other big song? Was it Picture?
Yeah. Is that them?
I think that was their only other real big one, right?
Filter?
Yeah, I think
that's. See, you know, I was watching
it's okay
this
to be wrong today.
I'm watching this, yeah,
take a
absolutely
picture.
It's a fad.
It's a fad.
It was always a little too slow.
I like the idea of Patrick Stewart being a Nine Inch Nails. Oh, that kicks ass. Yeah. He would do it.
Star Trek guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good song.
Yeah.
It's just weird how, you know, you have a couple hits and everyone thinks, oh, man, he's on his way. He's got it made. And it's so not true. I did the deep dive on Dave Wakeling, as I told you, and I read more because Mark Johnson sent me some great stuff. And the idea of Dave Wakeling of English Beat working for Greenpeace for 6 or 7 years.
Really?
While he was sort of trying to figure out, should he regather general public or English Beat or start something new? And IRS apparently, I think the problem was he couldn't get Ranking Roger to come over from England. It would have cost a lot of money to rehearse the two of them. So it was like, I got to start it here. I'm just going to call it English Beat. And people, he just told, learn the songs. We don't have a lot of time to rehearse. We'll just go out and get it right. And he's been touring for quite a while.
Really a funny guy.
Really cool. I really like him.
You know what the great thing is about music? It's so easy.
So I wonder what happened to that cocky Filter guy, whatever his fucking name is.
Richard Patrick. He's got two first names.
Can you do an update on him?
Yeah, he's still around.
Is he?
Yeah, check out this old picture of Nine
Inch Nails. Hanging out with Abner Louima. They're doing music together.
Did you find out what's up with Abner Louima? Update?
The Brandon? Only update that I can see is he still participates in police brutality.
But that was from 11 years ago, that update. So who knows what he's doing now?
I did see one as recent as 2017.
He's not sitting down, whatever he's doing.
Oh, come on.
He's staying busy. Oh. What? What do you mean?
That story is just so bizarre. It's
not a lot of Brandon's backyard either.
Why would they resort to that?
Stop.
You know? I mean,
I know. Who saw the plunger and thought, oh, that's what I'll do?
Perfect size.
Or did somebody just literally in the process of trying to break this guy down, I'm getting the plunger. It's just, I can't remember. I remember the trial, too.
Who has a plunger?
It had to be right there.
Is it in a police car?
No, it was in the station.
Oh, is it the police station? Oh, yeah. I see. That's right.
Which means they probably just used it.
Good God.
It was out in the open. Unless they just have plungers sitting around.
Well, every place needs one, right?
Every bath. That's what was a Mike Clark rule.
I'm trying to
every bathroom needs a plunger.
It's true. How injured was Abner Louima?
Pretty bad.
Yeah. They knocked his teeth in and
perforated his colon.
I meant his
perforated
the plunger.
Colon. That's bad. Yeah. Serious badness.
I mean, he blew a load too. What?
That would be, the thing about that would be terrible is if it came
for him.
Up, you know they'd bring it up in court.
Hey, he got hot, so he kept doing it.
Oh God.
Damages. We would like to point out to minimize damages that he did have an orgasm, did ejaculate, so.
Not once.
Some pleasure
twice.
There.
He was backing into it. I don't know. Oh, terrible.
So awful. Many, so many questions that
way
I'm not going to ask.
Bunch of animals.
Way too soon.
Talks like that.
I don't even know what to say about this bombing today or this attempted bombing. All these people getting bombs. Clinton.
Wait, one more thing on Louima.
Yes.
He testified to the presence of a second officer in the bathroom helping the first guy in the assault, but couldn't positively identify him. The second attacker became a point of serious contention during the trial and appeals. Louima also initially claimed the officers involved in the attack called him a racial slur and shouted, "This is Giuliani time!"
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
What? Giuliani time. This is Giuliani. You're putting a plunger in somebody's ass?
He was a Law and Order mayor.
That meant putting plungers in asses.
Well, he was Law and Order.
Freaking Giuliani!
Giuliani.
His serious injuries were a result of abnormal homosexual activities. That's what the officers said when they took him to the ER.
Mm. Oh, wow. Yeah.
What?
Trying to, well, they're trying to cover
to
up.
Concocta.
Yeah, but the ER nurse noted that. Wait, that's
trying,
not from homosex.
I'm just trying to picture two police officers bringing this broken down man saying, looks to me like, it's not like this is Giuliani time or something. This guy had some abnormal homo action, and we're just dropping him off.
Later.
Not under arrest for anything.
Later.
We just knew this crazy homo stuff was going on, and he seems pretty fucked up from it. So see ya.
Internal damage to his colon and bladder. 3 major operations to repair. Hospitalized for 2 months after the incident.
Yeah.
Is Giuliani done?
Good God.
What the fuck?
Oh, fucking weird.
Okay, I'm sorry. The pipe bombs.
Freaking Giuliani.
Did you see the video yet of CNN as it happened? That was
it was
wild,
a quick video.
Man.
It was pretty. Yeah, the alarm just starts going off.
Ready for a bomb?
They're talking about the bombs that were delivered to the home of Bill Clinton and Obama, and there were other
George Soros,
Eric Holder
via Wasserman Schultz's office, and then the one sent to CNN was for the former CIA John Brennan. Who doesn't work there, but it was addressed to John Brennan at the CNN office.
No, I can't believe that this will not be solved fast.
Yeah.
I mean, that many bombs, that many pipe bombs delivered to those people.
Yeah.
And I did record the press conference today. It's probably a ways in if we want to watch it. It was very brief.
Which press conference?
It was kind of weird. Melania was supposed to speak on opioids. And so
she said more than the president did, really.
She opened up. Yeah, she made a brief statement about how horrible it was. And then Trump came on and, you know,
said generic stuff.
Pretty much. I mean, just that it's unacceptable and nail these bastards or something. He didn't say that. I don't know what he said exactly. But of course, CNN, it's interesting because they go back to CNN afterwards. CNN was not happy with his statement.
No. Wow.
It didn't go far enough. Crank
to reflect on the progress this administration has made in tackling the opioid crisis, and more importantly, to look ahead
at
the work still to be done.
She doesn't mention CNN either.
We are here to talk about the continued actions we are taking to combat the opioid epidemic, which my husband will talk about in a few minutes. I must say I'm proud of our president and the work being done in the White House and across so many.
I didn't know her accent was that thick. I guess I haven't heard her talking too much lately.
An addiction.
She speaks 4 languages, though.
Just last week, I visited
he complimented her.
I know.
What does she say in those other languages, though?
Learning about many yes and
like,
no.
I can
somebody test that?
Spanish?
Good point. You could say multiple things in different languages.
By some rubric, I can speak Spanish, French.
Yeah. One of many Cerveza.
Listen to this.
Vino.
German.
Wow, people really like that speech.
I want to thank you very much, Melania. I know how hard you've worked on this. And that's just one of many languages that you know. So it's just amazing the way you can
English?
Do it. Thank you very much, Tom. Appreciate it.
That language?
Also, I want to thank Mrs. Pence for being here.
Mommy.
You have been
and I want
so
to say thanks, Mom.
Working alongside of our great Vice
Hi,
President.
Mommy.
And thank you very much.
Hi, Mother.
Really
Mother.
Appreciate it.
Mother.
That's right.
Oh, it's Mother. That's right.
Hi, Mommy.
I'd like to begin today's remarks by providing an update on the suspicious packages and devices mailed to current and former high-ranking government officials. The safety of the American people is my highest and absolute priority. I have just concluded a briefing with the FBI, Department of Justice, Department of Homeland Security, and the U.S. Secret Service. As we speak, the packages are being inspected by top explosive experts, and a major federal investigation is now underway. The full weight of our government is being deployed to conduct this investigation and bring those responsible for these despicable acts to justice. We will spare no resources or expense in this effort. And I just want to tell you that in these times, we have to unify. We have to come together and send one very clear, strong, unmistakable message that acts or threats of political violence of any kind have no place in the United States of America.
Yeah! I'm surprised he didn't speculate as to who did it. He loves speculating.
Standing O!
God bless. Thank you.
It's funny, there's been very little. Is he still talking?
Yeah, I think he goes for a while, actually.
About this?
You're
talking opioids.
It's a very bipartisan statement. I can tell you from both sides, we both agree on that. This egregious conduct is abhorrent to everything we hold dear and sacred as Americans. My administration will provide additional updates as they become available. And I just want to thank everybody for their understanding. We're extremely angry, upset, unhappy about what we witnessed this morning, and we will get to the bottom of it.
God bless.
We gathered together today to address America's drug and opioid.
Okay. A pretty good bill he signed, though.
Pretty good what?
The opioid bill is a pretty good bill.
I didn't even pay attention to it.
I know, because this took over.
Yeah.
The bombs took over.
It's funny, though, they go back to CNN, and CNN is like, he didn't even mention us. That statement didn't go far enough. And then they were angry because, why did Melania talk about it? Shouldn't he have opened the press conference? It's like,
who gives a fuck?
I know. It's like, it somehow changes. It's, we're responding more harshly if he opens the press conference.
Who cares when Megyn Kelly's talking about blackface?
Is there anybody hurt?
No. They intercepted
him. Nothing blew up.
Crazy.
But I don't know. I wonder, it's interesting. Why isn't there more speculation? First of all, I expect him to speculate.
Well, he speculated on Saudi Arabia. He speculates who's in the caravan. Everything.
I mean, that's one of the coolest things about him, a president who will speculate. he always says terrorism, but, you know, maybe in this case, maybe in meeting with all those departments he met with that are descending upon this person, maybe they felt that these did not appear to be terrorist bombs, or who knows?
Some people are calling it a false flag.
Of course.
False flag. Is that Alex that's calling it a false flag?
Explain that to me.
Just people on Twitter.
So you didn't know about the opioid thing he signed today?
Oh, you mean the bombs are fake?
Yeah, it's one of the top stories on the Washington Post.
Oh, come on.
To make
okay, read me a little chunk of that garbage.
Unfortunately, we've reached our monthly...
What?
Views,
Mark
and
knows how to get in.
No longer.
I don't know. The post is hard to get around.
It is.
Is it?
No longer read the Washington Post.
I got that
clear cookies.
You're not going to believe this. I got the, you've reached your limit with the Oakland Press. I'm like, I don't read
too.
The Oakland Press that much.
What's
the limit?
All of Gary's articles. I'm not joking.
You got through all of his?
I got stopped after, five?
Yeah, well, that's all I do is read Gary, pretty much. And Gary is getting me to the limit, unfortunately.
Gary. So this here's...
Gary opened that gate for us?
You should tell him. Say, Gary, we'd read more of your articles if we weren't black.
Gary.
You could subscribe.
It's a perfect excuse when he busts us. Oh, my God, we're blocked. Nothing we could do.
Oh,
although
yeah,
Gary's, or not Gary's, but the Oakland Press you can read if you're using a private browser.
I see.
Washington Post, not as easy.
You know what? They send me little teases all the time, like this big breaking news. And when I go in, then they tell me I can't read it. And that's kind
of
bitchy.
I think a lot of times if you click off Twitter, like if one of the reporters tweets it out and you click on it, they allow you.
There's no words there.
At least they do, I think, with the Wall Street Journal.
Mags is now at the top of the stairs. He was offered the chance to come down earlier, and he declined because he... He was angry with me.
Uh-oh.
Whoa.
Due to a much-needed bath.
Oh.
And in the bath, it was discovered that there was a pretty good mess going on. And unfortunately, to untangle the mess...
to cut his butt hair?
It's poop.
He was very unhappy because something was attached to his tail.
Oh!
That is really...
dogs do not like you screwing with their tail.
Oh, no.
And I had to untangle something from his tail.
Feces.
And so I made him sit in the water for a long time.
Soak it out. Yes.
Melt it. Melt his feces off his tail.
Maybe it'll just come out. And I won't have to do anything. That'd be great. I'll just pick it up out of the tub.
Oh.
I know. Lovely.
Gross.
No, not so lucky. And every time I tried it, like, it was just, there was like this much space, like half an inch, where I could go, kst, and he would just go, he would just escape.
Oh.
I had him between my legs. I had his ass, like, in front of me.
Hot.
And
take that out of context.
And every
Brandon.
Time I was like, just about to go, snip, he'd go, and he would just
away.
Bolt. Yeah, he would just squirm. And,
it's a lot
and
of mass.
He's never moved faster or been more squirrely ever. So then
when...
That's
why you'd Luima him. You don't want you anywhere near his butt.
No, I felt terrible because he thinks I'm trying to bum him out. I'm trying to help him.
He thinks that.
So when Layla was barking to come down the stairs, which she always does, she cannot be on a different floor, I brought her down. And I'm like, come on, Mags. And he was behind the washing machine.
Oh.
And I was like, Max, don't you want to go? Come on. And he's like, no, I don't think so. Just his tail's moving real slowly. Aww. Like he does have that. His tail sometimes does move very slowly, but it's always moving. But it was moving more slowly than usual.
Uh-huh.
And so I was definitely on probation, but I think he's thought better of it because he's at the top of the stairs.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny watching Layla walk up to the stairs, look up. They meet eyes, and they're like, hey, what are you doing up there? No, what are you doing down there? Those two are never separated.
No, they aren't. They've really never been apart. That's why when Mags goes in the time machine, Layla doesn't go. I took Layla to the vet. I don't know why, but I just took them both when it was for Mags.
Right.
And it was confusing to the vet. They're like, what's wrong with this dog? I was like, well, and I felt stupid. Like, why are they both? Why did I bring Layla? And so... I got the impression, like, could you not bring the other dog? And so I just took
that?
Mags. What?
Have you done the test? Oh, so you did just
Yeah, so
Mags?
I've just taken Mags twice now, and so he seems, the time machine is not as much fun
like,
as it used to be.
It's like the twins on Manifest. How one's 5 years older than, five and a half years older than the other.
Oh, that explains why Mags is a different size than Layla?
Yeah. He's been time traveling.
5 years older?
Yeah.
Oh,
and in
the
dog years,
twice.
That's what?
Yeah, that's
35, oh, yeah. almost 40 years.
Yeah, that's a lot of years. Oof. I'll go bring him down.
Ludicrous.
Yesterday when I got here, Mags was at the top of the stairs, too. I think you guys just forgot to bring him down. So I brought him down. And
well, he's fine.
Yeah.
Hurt the back a little bit.
I mean, he's a dog. Oh, your back?
Oh. You know, what would solve all these problems is a dog groomer.
I've told him.
That would help.
I don't know.
And mineral oil next time, Drew.
You
we'll
tell
get
him,
that
Trudy.
Out. Yeah.
Oh, did you hear Layla? Was that Layla?
Yeah.
They're going to fight
mad
now.
About
great.
It.
Well, now they've been staring at
a scrap.
Other.
Oh, they're going to want Trudy's treats. Get out of here.
Oh, now they're
Layla's
team.
Layla's the worst.
Yeah. Hi, Mags feels like he has to make up time.
Layla's not the worst.
Layla's the worst. I like Mags.
She's pretty bad about treats.
Oh.
Oh, boy.
Hey, do you want to hear some breaking news?
What's breaking?
It's breaking sports news, though.
Okay.
Breaking news with Mort Krim.
The Big Ten has fined Michigan State for that clothesline.
Whoa, for the stormtroopers?
Yeah, for knocking the headphones off of LaVert Hill.
Whoa.
$10,000. And they publicly reprimanded the University, D'Antonio, and Michigan and
$10,000.
Whoa.
And Michigan and Harbaugh.
And but wait, they
got,
what?
What, huh?
What'd you say?
Harbaugh in Michigan also got publicly reprimanded.
For what?
For all the pregame stuff. We are fortunate the series of events that occurred prior to the Michigan-Michigan State game did not escalate into a much more serious matter, Jim Delaney said. While traditions hold great importance on our campuses,
Michigan!
Isn't this the best thing to happen for this rivalry?
It's not a rivalry.
Yeah, it is. It's just not the biggest.
No, it's not. No, it's not even that big a rivalry. It's not even worth talking about.
Yeah, it's not the biggest. That's fine.
Rashawn Gary, by the way,
his
this
mom.
Is a strange story today. The mother of
if
Michigan
you,
defensive end Rashawn Gary.
If you watched the Amazon series, it would not be that odd to think about his mom. Speaking
well,
for, he's quite a mama's boy.
His coach, Jim Harbaugh, does not want to discuss this. He wants people to either think, look, you don't, we don't know if he's playing. He might be playing. We better prepare for him. But when his mom comes out and says he's not playing until he's fully recovered, and then she goes on to say that He decided he could play through it after he injured it before the Notre Dame game and rehab during the week. However, at UM, it's all or nothing, and daily practice is just like a game. So he's never had a chance to rest. So instead of getting better, it got worse.
Hell yeah.
Thanks to Michigan.
Yep.
A message from MLive seeking comment has not been returned.
She said that it was he was supposed to be out 4 to 6 weeks. Penn State would be 5.
The timeline for his return, I mean, he practiced last week, but he didn't feel like he could play in the Michigan State game. Harbaugh told her. I think his mom is telling us the truth. I'm not sure what Harbaugh has to say.
Well, he hasn't said anything.
The mom made a post. Why did she do that? That's pretty stupid.
Yeah.
I don't think she's following Michigan protocol in that one. And then this story today, which is on TMZ about Michigan's assistant gymnastics coach.
Everywhere, this story.
Banging an 18-year-old gymnast on the Michigan team. And this guy was the three-time captain of the Michigan gymnastics team, 2000 to 2002, I guess. And he got busted by cops nailing an 18-year-old gymnast on the Michigan team in public. They were both arrested. This story is wild enough as it is, but it's not done. The Free Press didn't name the arrested gymnast because of Scott Viteri's position of power.
What? Why?
She's 18.
It was consensual. The problem is that he's a coach.
Right, but... In other words, the Free Press has decided that we have a policy when a person of power gets arrested with a person who is marginalized by that power somehow. Did you hear that, Trudy?
But it's consensual.
Isn't that weird? Not that I'm dying for her to be named. In fact,
I've already seen a picture.
She's already been named.
Oh, can I see her?
Yeah, she's right here.
She's
kinda hot. There is a power.
Hold that. Get a picture up there.
Huh?
That's her?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, she does look
she's from around here.
She looks very young, I have to say, because I saw his picture.
She looks 18, which is what she is.
She looks younger than 18 to me.
So?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that's his wife in the picture.
Yeah.
She's married.
Oh. Wait, the wife's pretty.
Oh, and there's the children.
Oh, God. Oh, boy, this story sucks.
And he got blown out.
Yep. So...
Why didn't you say he was training her?
But to not name her because of his position of power suggests that she didn't know or she can't be held liable for the crime. No, she's arrested.
Yeah.
They're both arrested. They're both adults. They're both arrested. He gets named and she doesn't because the media is now going to decide when there's a position of power and...
That's pretty stupid.
I don't know. I found that really strange.
Well, they're immediately positioning her as a victim and we don't know that. She's 18. She gets consensual.
I don't think she has said anything to the effect that it was not consensual. Now, you're not supposed to have sex with anyone you're coaching.
That's a typical policy. Him.
Yeah, that's on him, but that doesn't change the arrest for indecent act or something like that. I hate the whole story because they were probably in a car doing something.
Yeah, they were in a car in a parking lot.
Getting it on.
They're getting it on.
I mean,
my gut tells me when a cop comes up on that, shouldn't they just say, "Look, get the fuck out of here."
Instead of arresting him?
Yeah, kind of. I don't know.
Yeah, I tend to agree.
But again,
cops sometimes do that.
They can't do that in most cases because what if that person has been kidnapped or something like that? They kind of have to find out.
Especially when the individual looks really young.
Yeah.
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 But except that they made the arrest of both of them.
Yeah.
Well,
and that's what made this become known.
But I don't know.
I know what you're saying, though. It's kind of
who knows if they stumbled upon them or if somebody called. And if somebody calls and they see that they just let them go, then that person that called is going to be pissed.
We'll probably hear more about that story.
Might want to just get a room. It's really probably worth it.
Yeah, doesn't she have an apartment? I mean, she's a student.
Well,
can't you just put a black sock on the door?
No, he can't go home.
Not Mickey.
Yeah, he's.
Oh, he can't.
He
but she's got a
has
place.
Limitations in terms of going home to his wife and kids and the appropriate hour.
Yeah, well, what about her place?
Well, she probably has roommates and wife's gymnastics coach in her bedroom with her.
Just doing a little stretching.
Yeah. Sounds like we both got pussy problems.
Yep.
The other national athlete story is just the worst. The Utah track girl that was shot by her boyfriend, ex-boyfriend.
Who it turns out was a sex offender.
Stalker. Seriously, Rochelle thought because she could have done way better than him. And she knew that.
She's pretty.
Because once she found out that he lied about his age, his background, his arrests, and pretty much his name, pretty much everything he lied to her about, she dumped him, and then he started stalking her. And she this is what's sickening about it. She was helping the campus police, you know, deal with it, and he still was able to come up behind and shoot her in the head while she was on the phone to her mom.
Jesus.
And then he went and killed himself.
Oh, well, he showed her.
I know. What the fuck is wrong with this? Yeah, whatever.
I know.
She's a beautiful girl.
Yeah. And she was kicking ass at Hurdle.
Look at that dick.
You know, I just ran into him. This is breaking news, I would say. Really serious breaking news. I ran into Stars, They're Just Like Us.
Oh, yeah, how? Who and how?
In Us Magazine. I always thought this was in Star Magazine, but Stars, They're Just Like Us is in Us Magazine.
Hmm.
They could both do it.
There's a... Really, this is quite a complicated picture. It's Liv Tyler taking advantage of some downtime in Primrose Hill a few days before attending Princess Eugenie's. Why is she attending?
Because she's...
Who fucking cares? Why is that part of the story?
She's no drinking, way. They're not like us at all.
She's drinking wine and she's on the phone. And the way Stars Are Just Like Us is they multitask.
At the princess's wedding.
It's a few days before attending.
She's preparing for it.
That's part of the story.
That's how she's multitasking.
Then Gigi Haddad is checking out the goods at a mineral and gem store.
Oh, that's not like us at all.
On a rare day off. And in that case, she's with her girlfriend and they browse around just like us. And then we have Naomi Watts. It's easy to eat out or get something delivered in New York, but I think the kids enjoy it. If it's cooked for them, Naomi Watts says she's carrying groceries.
Oh.
And this is how Stars Are Just Like Us. They stick to a list. And I guess they mean the groceries. There was apparently a list.
Does she have a list?
I don't see the list, but apparently there was a list that she stuck to. And in that case, she's just like us when we have a list. And then
they're so normal.
That's ridiculous.
I know, it's so stupid. Jordana Brewster makes a phone call and takes over a bench following a shopping trip, and she's got her earbuds in, and she's cross-legged on the bench, and here's where Stars Are Just Like Us, because they make themselves comfortable. Sometimes we do that. You might lie down on the bench. You might cross your legs, but Stars will make themselves comfortable just like we do.
I don't know the name of it, but it's very comfortable.
You know,
we're just normal people.
That must be a fun feature to do because they think the us photo editors shoves a bunch of pictures and okay, make this into
it
a Stars
all
or just
the
like
leftover
a,
tablet.
Yeah, it's
photos.
Totally leftover because there's nothing exciting about it. They have Ellen Pompeo. Who went vegan with her family earlier this year, sports a fresh face while running errands in L.A., and she's carrying this giant piece of bread.
Uh-huh.
See that long
yeah,
baguette?
Yeah.
So Stars Are Just Like Us because they bring home bread. And we do. We bring home bread. I mean, we all do it.
Undeniable.
It's something we just all have to do sometimes when we need bread.
Can't disagree.
Nope. So
I like to be comfortable.
It's really powerful, I think, when you see how much Stars Are Like Us.
Do you like to follow a list, though?
Well, yeah, it's probably the easiest way to do it.
I don't usually have a list. It's usually in my head, and I usually forget two or three things. I should have a list.
Yes. I don't know.
Stars
I should be more like
too.
The Stars.
Yeah.
I don't know what Julie hates more, getting shipped or sending me to the store, because we probably both call or text about 15 times.
Oh, because you think of something?
Well, no, it'll be like, do you know what shipped is, where you order it online and then they bring it to you?
Oh, I haven't done that.
They do
I
it
should.
At Meijer. But yeah, if you don't have the exact thing, they'll send you a text or they'll call to say, do you want the substitute or whatever?
Mm.
And for me, it's like she'll just write something down like bread. I'm like, I don't fucking know what kind we need.
Yeah,
what does that mean?
That's size? A minefield. What kind of bread?
Yeah, I don't know.
Let's see what Us Magazine says about Pete and Ariana. We had heard the story that...
Both their families are elated, by the way, according to the news story today.
Well, I'm glad everybody's happy,
yeah.
Except Pete, apparently. But they were suggesting that he had sent out explicit photos of him and Ariana to Mac Miller.
Fake!
I know, it sounds like it was not.
It turned,
I don't know if that's true.
They said it was bullshit.
It's not over till it's over. Ariana Grande and Pete Davidson called off their five-month-long engagement October 14th, but a source close to the couple says they're not quite quitting each other cold turkey.
Oh.
The wedding is off, but they're trying to work things out. The insider tells us. They're not officially done yet. Multiple outlets have reported... Oh, no. Multiple outlets reported that the God is a Woman singer has even been hanging out with a comedian backstage at SNL the night before news of the split broke. After only a few weeks of dating, Davidson proposed in June with a $93,000 three-carat... Wait, $93,000 for 3 carats? Does that sound right?
No.
Mm-hmm. You get more than 3 carats.
Crappy with a lot of inclusions and...
Sounds like he got ripped off.
Maybe it's yellow.
Or sounds like he's exaggerating the price.
Kiss the rings, bitch.
I would think you get more than 3 carats for 93,000 bucks.
More than, yeah, well.
I mean, unless it's chopped off the Hope Diamond or something.
Three carats, that's too, I'm sorry, that's too big.
The pair moved in the pricey New York City pad purchased by Grande.
Grand?
She's like, this is our house. And I'm like, you're very nice for saying that. Thank you for letting me stay here. He joked. And got multiple tattoos dedicated to each other and very publicly declared her love. It's done on Native. On her album, Sweetener, with a song titled Pete Davidson. Oh, that'll be getting a lot of play. They even adopted a pet pig together, tainted by tragedy. Gandhi's ex-boyfriend, Mac Miller, on September 7th, died of an overdose. Singer was left absolutely heartbroken. A source tells us, adding, he was a huge part of her life, and they always shared such a special bond, which is why she got engaged 2 months after they broke up. Since his death... What? Grande's pumped the brakes on both her career. She and David skipped the Emmys. She was going to need much-needed time to heal and mend, and her wedding plans. Loving someone is too much when mourning someone else she loved, explains another insider.
Wow.
Davidson Grande now realized they jumped the gun. That's the first insider. It happened too quickly and too early.
Well, those stars are just like us, too.
Guess which song this is.
Pete Davidson?
Yeah. I don't know what she's saying.
All I know is I'm so worried about these young superstar singers like Ariana Grande. She's so broken up by this person that overdosed, Mac Miller. Even though she's engaged 2 months later. I mean, she didn't give a fuck then. But now she's so upset because he died. So that seemed weird. I don't know. That whole thing seemed weird to me. Everything about it. But she's completely devastated. Then we have Selena Gomez, who's in rehab, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And then who's Bieber's ex?
No, that's Selena Gomez. Oh, you're thinking of.
I'm sorry.
She's in Demi Lovato. She's in for mental health because Biebs got married.
This is how much I care about these people. I don't keep them straight, and I won't.
She has PTSD.
Oh, that's right. She has PTSD.
Yeah, PTSD. And that's Selena Gomez has PTSD from Bieber breaking up.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
I see.
So he's visited.
It's tough. It's tough.
Is she in a veterans hospital?
I'm just curious. I follow up.
I'm not being a jerk.
I mean, does she detonate an IED?
I'm not being an asshole. This PTSD.
But if she showed up at a VA hospital.
I know, it would be fucking hilarious.
PTSD.
And Bieber is currently, the latest headline is Justin Bieber blames himself for Selena.
Oh, you should.
These veterans who've just been blown up are consoling her. Oh, you'll be okay. You'll come around.
They don't have an arm or a leg.
But Justin was everything to me.
Yep. Remember him crying?
That's right.
He's crying constantly. He's lost his mind.
The thought bubble over Baldwin there is, I can't believe I married this pussy. You see that picture? Look at her. She's like, why are you being such a pussy?
What's wrong with these people? I'm asking. I don't know.
Man, I found out.
Much estrogen in the water, possibly.
Maybe right about that.
Speaking of Haley Baldwin, I found out from a friend of mine that when Stephen Baldwin was in town, quite possibly the same time when he handed you his business card with his phone number, Trudy.
What?
When he was in town, he showed up at my buddy's AA meeting.
Wow.
They had an AA meeting.
How cool is that?
And walked Stephen Baldwin with some girl, who knows, I don't know, maybe there's a sponsor. Mm. And I said to him, I said, why didn't you ever tell us this before? He goes, well, it's anonymous, man. It's like, okay.
It's still anonymous.
So then I found out another friend of mine I haven't talked to in a while was driving. I have no idea what this connection is or what the, I'm dying to know what the story is. But another friend was driving him around Ann Arbor, had to take him to a store so he could buy lube to bang a chick. And I thought it sounded like I thought it sounded like an urban legend, but he swears by it.
Really?
Now, he had to go to a store to buy lube for Stephen Baldwin while he was in Ann Arbor.
What, this chick doesn't get lubed up at all? I mean,
not for Stephen Baldwin.
Chicks are so unattracted to him that they're absolutely dry as a desert.
Yep.
I think maybe they had other plans.
Well, he was,
I'm not making this up, right, Brandon? You were there when he was telling us this story.
I did hear this story.
Yeah. I was blown away, but he seemed genuine.
The thing that was sort of like outraging for me at that time was that he was still married, or he is still married to China or whatever her name is.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
The crazy thing,
too, like, had his card, and I'm like, China! I know what the implications of this are, but...
You know, he could have needed lube for another area.
That's what I was thinking.
Wait, what?
I mean, wait, what?
No, I think I'm right.
He also
there's complete dryness when anyone is with Stephen Baldwin.
He also gets a portion of the concession stands at Michigan, too.
Wait, what?
Is that not the weirdest story that he needed to pick up lube in Ann Arbor? Stephen Baldwin, it's a fact now.
Why specifically in Ann Arbor?
Because that's where he was. I don't know why.
I have no doubt I'm right about my theory on that. Absolutely none. Anna Faris is supposedly hitting the bottle too hard.
Uh-oh. Oh, good. Maybe we'll jump her.
And she looks very thin.
In the podcast
world. People are concerned.
Oh, yeah.
And then, Tom Jones groomed girl as his plaything. Stunner, targeted by Tom Jones for bedroom romps, committed suicide after the lecher singer dumped her. Nicole Hall's family members insisted the tragic beauty was just friendly with the She's Lady crooner. But the Inquirer caught the pair shacking up in a hotel love nest when Nicole was barely out of her teens and Tom was 53. Nicole's grandmother was an avid Tom Jones fan. Anytime there was a concert with Tom, Grandma had backstage passes. They got to meet Tom when Nicole was 14 or 15.
She threw her granny panties on stage.
Soon the swivel-hipped stud was flying Nicole out to meet him in Las Vegas and for a vacation in Cancun. We caught Tom and then 20-year-old Nicole checking into a Sheraton hotel in Tyler, Texas in 1994. We published photos of the lovebirds jogging, walking hand in hand. My in-laws went
crazy out of their minds. She was too young to be hanging around him, revealed Nicole's former stepmother, Liz Gangawer.
After the couple split, Nicole lost her job as a gym manager and fell in a deep depression. She ended her life at age 32.
Nicole was a beautiful girl. She could have had any man. When she committed suicide, it was very traumatic for the whole family.
I would just like to see the two of you get it on.
I don't know what the point of that story was.
This song explains all of it, though.
I wonder if Graham ever saw Tom marinating his penis in Listerine.
Of course.
With a basting brush.
You know, huge, right?
Or Elmira.
You really gave my little hole quite a stretch.
Hey, Stevie's a wonderful lover. Blind woman's secret confession about Stevie Wonder.
A blind
woman? Why does her being blind have to do
with it? I don't know. She just is, I guess.
What? How does she know Stevie Wonder?
In the ultimate blind date, sightless whiz kid, Stevie Wonder fell for a blind teenager and the two carried on a youthful romance.
Stevie was the love of my life,
gushed Adrian Scott Colbert, who revealed their details of their fling in a diary exclusively obtained by the Inquirer.
I first met him backstage after a Motown review show in Atlanta when he was still known as Little Stevie Wonder. Our first romantic encounter happened in Atlanta in 64. I was 16 and Stevie was 14.
How does she know it's not one of the backup guys? Or
I don't know.
I have no idea what he
it
looks like.
Could have been
like.
All of them.
She made him, sing to her.
Here's Stevie. Oh, here he is again. Here he is again.
She made him sing to her.
In 68, we had our first sexual encounter. We were both really excited because we've been waiting for that moment for so long.
Since we couldn't see each other, we had to explore each other's body with our hands. Before long, we stopped petting and started having sex. Stevie was ready to go. The whole thing was over in a matter of minutes.
What the? Really? What? Like Stevie was waiting the whole time for her 4 years.
Let's look her up.
Stevie declared his love for her and soon asked Adrian to move into the home that he shared with his mother.
Even though I was 20, we had separate bedrooms and never had sex in the house. Stevie always said he wouldn't feel right.
Now I really don't believe her. The stunt went on the sex got
wilder and better. Stevie was completely straight out of bed, but totally wild and kinky in it. He was insatiable!
I'm blind!
Her name is Adrian Scott Colbert, C-O-L-B-E-R-T.
She had three names.
Because she was a blind woman on a blind date with Stevie Wonder. That requires three names.
Where'd she live?
She was in, wait.
Well, we have an idea of how old she is.
Well, the Motown Review in Atlanta, so she must be from Georgia.
Adrian.
I gotta tell you, I'm not sure Stevie would have picked her if he had seen her.
See her.
I don't know.
Well, he didn't. This was somebody else.
Maybe this is like a joke with his handlers. I don't know. Trudy?
Well, yeah. Possibly not.
He's got really weird hair now.
Oh, no way.
Because he's still got the braids and everything. But
oh, yeah.
Oh, he doesn't
start
know.
Until about, I'd say about 5/8 past the middle of his head.
I know. It's. I'm not sure it's the best look.
It's like a skull.
Seacrest back.
I don't know, I've never felt he had people who had his best interest at heart when they decide what to wear and how to fashion them.
Notice his stylist has never worked for anyone else.
I feel like somebody is eating the stylist's salary.
Double dipping.
Maybe doing great.
Double dipping it.
Maybe.
It's also his cook. Just puts on a different voice.
The great thing, though, is he always seems so happy about it. He doesn't seem like when he goes in a dish hiki or something like that. He doesn't seem upset.
It would be very freeing to not know what you look like.
Oh, boy.
Very Bruno Mars-esque.
That was a big story about that. That pizza delivery guy who saved the woman being beaten bloody by her ex-boyfriend.
Oh, yeah.
He was wearing the Taylor Swift thing, which is so, really takes the edge off his story for me. Lindsay Lohan needs help.
Lindsay Lohan needs help again?
Yeah, she's been she, of course, was trying to kidnap children from some refugee family, for starters.
He's got the stinkiest, f***ing sweaty, orange vagina anyone has ever seen. I haven't seen it, but it s*** out freckles, it's orange, and it f***ing smells like diarrhea.
I think I got her number.
Oh, cool. In Georgia?
Yeah. Yeah, she's 70, so that's about right.
Sources are concerned that Lindsay may no longer be sober.
Oh,
she's
no.
Been partying, drinking a lot, and has been a nightmare.
Her mom only has $27,000 to her name, too. That was a story the other day. I went, that's interesting.
I mean, it's funny when a parent like that, one that cashes in, unlike, you know, many parents of people, I mean, you would think that Dina Lohan would have a lot of money because it seems that she's had a lot of projects.
Yeah.
Well, apparently it's quite a lifestyle. As we saw in the reality show. No New Year's Day.
Wait, what about the Obama song?
What's my girl's name again, Trudy?
Adrian, here's the story.
Adrian.
Adrian Scott. You're right, we should play. Do you have the
We should ask for more excerpts out of her diary.
Yeah.
What's the percentage chance to say Adrian?
Oh, this first number? I'm going to say 85.
Really?
Yeah, I'm very confident. In fact, God damn it. Did you misdial on purpose?
No, I don't root for these things to fail.
Fake!
I don't, I swear. No wedding
Saturday. I don't like this song. Do you like this song? I don't like it.
It's a pop hit. It was a very big hit, wasn't it, Trudy?
Yeah,
it was a huge hit. Now here's some real Stevie Wonder. Like my Stevie Wonder favorite is Living for the City.
Oh, it's great.
It's a good song too.
Oh no! She better be dead.
I will try the first one again, just in case I did fat finger it.
I wonder what song Stevie Wonder's best known for.
Superstition.
Yes. Yeah.
People keep on learning. But some of those sappy hits are, you know.
Chili Peppers' version of this is pretty good.
Yeah.
Really good. No, really? This is one of his great songs.
On Spotify, Superstition is his most streamed, and then Sign, Sealed, Delivered.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's a good song.
My Sharia Moore.
Yeah.
I Was Made to Love Her.
Yeah.
The one Ed Sheeran played all the instruments on.
Right.
When he did the tribute.
It's not on here, though.
Actually,
I Was Made to Love Her isn't on there?
No, the third most streamed is Sir Duke, which I'm kind of shocked by. Then For Once in My Life.
Isn't She Lovely? I bet it's up there.
It's Called to Say I Love You. Isn't She Lovely? Higher Ground. You're the Sunshine.
This one?
Yes.
How about the John Kerry song?
That is number 9.
We need to find it.
Obama.
Remember Michelle Obama pushed him over when they were walking out of the stage?
Remember when he used to catch microphones that were falling down?
Oh, because he's not really blind.
He's not really blind.
Oh, that's right. And they caught him driving once.
They caught him like reaching out to give McCartney a handshake.
I can't believe he's Living for the City is not on that list. I'm livid.
I can't believe neither of those numbers worked.
That's disappointing.
That went in big, too.
Let's see. Wait.
Bummed out.
Yeah, you did 80%. That's one of the biggest disappointments ever in the history of Call Out.
Yeah. Balls. It's terrible.
I'm trying to see what else I missed there.
Very angry.
The key cat that got rescued from the road.
What's that?
Oh, the glued cat?
If you were glued to the, to the road. Was it glued
down
to the
road? Story?
No, what story?
Some asshole glued a cat's feet to a road and someone saved him. The key cat's doing great, though, now.
It's great.
Aw.
And then its name is Sticky.
I know.
Oh, boy. Where'd that happen? In Detroit?
Oregon.
Yeah.
In Oregon?
Yeah. Pussy. Oh. There's a big anniversary in Detroit, though, today.
Oh, well, that's right.
20 years.
Since?
The Hudson Building implosion. Which led to some phenomenal news videos.
You know, I walked by the site of the new Hudson Building, which isn't really cooking along that fast.
Not at all.
But
it's going to be done in 2022.
They're about to start kicking ass, hopefully. But yeah, that was it was weird when I moved here. You always heard, and Mike Clark, of course, more than anyone, the Hudson's Building was such a huge deal. Holidays, everyone either shopped there or for whatever
reason.
Display. I mean, my mom talked about the Hudson's Building, and she grew up here in the 30s.
Wow.
So she remembered it. She worked in the Hudson's Building.
Is there the Channel 2 one, Brandon?
I'll find it.
The implosion was...
That was awesome.
Yeah.
who did that implosion? Because that was not well organized.
Well, I don't know if we blame them for the media being caught in clouds of incredible dust.
Trudy and I were watching a bunch of them before the show, and the one guy has a video from overhead, and there's like a viewing area on the ground, and the clouds going to them, and you just see the people scatter like ants.
Cool.
Yeah, very much like 9/11.
Chased by this giant cloud. Yeah.
Were they outrunning the cloud or not?
No.
No, because
some did.
Because I think they were like, hey, is it coming towards us? They like watched it. Sort of rooted to the ground and then decided.
Thought, no, we're in the viewing area. It's not coming here.
Right.
Take that out and then put.
Oh, I didn't have that in. Sorry.
What is it? JBK or. There you go. But Huel and Monica.
Yeah.
Which is funny. Huel and Monica actually have the face masks because they had an idea that dust might be coming at them. But Channel 7
hard hats
was Guy Gordon and Joanne Purton, and they had nothing. Yeah. They left them out. They hung them out to dry.
We're going to first hear two sirens. That will let us know that we are actually 2 minutes away from the company's countdown for this blast. There's our countdown, and there's the company's countdown as well.
So then funny how another this was siren.
Hell yeah.
We are 1 minute away from the blast. So when we hear those sirens, we'll know what's going on.
Everyone likes a good implosion, don't they?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The bigger the building, the better.
The Kingdome was a great one. Silverdome was the best.
Vegas had a couple good ones. Come on.
Silverdome was the best.
Silverdome was phenomenal. Yeah,
the non-implosion was the best. Ryan Armani should have won an Emmy for killing all the time.
The Emmy for killing time.
Oh. Oh.
There it goes.
Why is everyone cheering?
Yep, here comes everybody scrambling.
Wow, that is a biggest cloud of dust possibly ever.
Witness history.
Look at him.
The cloud is getting awfully history close to Huel and Monica.
Here in downtown
I would run.
A cloud of dust and debris. Now,
comes toward the parking garage. You can see the cloud coming.
I think Guy Gordon
right
and
now.
Joanne Perkin could probably sue Channel family, 7.
Right, well, she... I messaged her.
Sue, we're about to be enveloped in this cloud.
Look at everybody running.
Yeah, there's the viewing area.
Oh, wow.
There's one Joker down here who stays.
Here comes a cloud. Here comes a cloud.
Get out of there.
Here comes a
slow down.
Here we go. We're putting on our...
I think they just think it's a cloud.
You can see the cloud now.
Oh, it outran that lady.
See ya.
The cloud is relentless.
And we can see and feel the tiny particles
Monica.
Of the building coming
yeah,
down.
I don't think Monica's too pleased with the mask.
No.
It's blocking out the sun right now.
It's really...
Yo, we can
it
see...
It is almost really night here.
No, it is not almost. No, that's an exaggeration.
Fine dust, a mist here, covering everything we have. Pieces of J.L. Hudson's.
Put your helmet on,
we
Monica.
Our shirts, our clothes.
I guess we're part of history right now, aren't we?
We are indeed.
Oh, she's pissed.
You cannot see 10 feet in front of you because of the dust right now.
It's good TV.
They go to Al Allen.
Nothing.
Poor Al Allen was down on the ground.
We can barely
was he
see
in the cloud?
The camera crew's in front of us. And the sun has been completely blocked out.
I don't even see any sky above me.
Wow. It's because you're in a big
Cadillac
dust cloud.
Near ground zero, Al.
You, we Al. Survived the dust. And I tell you, there was a lot of dust down here.
Al's
thousands
got his helmet
of
on.
Pounds of dust. He's
and
got
big
goggles.
Glasses.
Cloud.
I
goggles
think,
are totally
I
covered.
Al has a book out now.
He does
a
memoir, yeah.
Cool.
I love it.
I want to pick that up. Really we should have Al on. Over there,
but it looks as though the People Mover rail took withstood the explosion and the impact, and it's still standing.
I don't
what?
Think it did. I think there was some damage to it.
Of course, there was a big concern. It's only 12 feet distance from the People Mover rail to the building itself, and a lot of folks are very concerned that it would not be able to withstand the impact of the explosion.
Thank
it
God it did
like
for
it
all the people
you.
That write
As
it.
As a matter of fact, when the implosion occurred, after the implosion, then the dust started.
we saw it, Al.
Amounts of dust, as you can see.
Thanks for watching
we're
your program.
We're not exactly as clean as we were about 15 minutes ago, but everything looks okay. They were shaking hands a few minutes ago, giving high fives among Hombridge and Company and the demolition experts.
There you go. Here's your
so
answer.
Everything went according to plan. They even mentioned the fact that there would be some dust. And boy,
some.
There's a lot of dust down here in Cadillac Square. Monica Huell, back to you.
Shit.
Now, I just got to ask you, what did it feel like personally for you to see this happen? I mean, have you ever covered anything like this before?
You know what? This is my first implosion ever, and we were right at ground level, not that far from it. The ground did shake a little bit when the implosions went off, when the charges went off. But other than that, it was a feeling of the grand old lady celebrating her funeral this afternoon, because I was a part of the Hudson's era, too. It was also, I guess it was an emotional event to see that this is all gone.
What a good report by him, though, man.
The building is gone. But again, the building, they're doing this to make way for progress, and it had to be done. Monica?
Well said.
Progress. What, 26 years from then?
Okay, it's been 20 years, but it's going to happen.
Would they have would they have done that in this time period? Like, wouldn't they have tried to restore the Hudson's building?
That's a good question.
Oh, yeah.
Because everything is now.
It was so stripped of everything.
I know, but some of those places downtown, A Loft Hotel, it was stripped of everything, too, and they put stuff back.
They have spent money and restored. I mean, God, the foundation did that fire station somehow.
Joanne, I texted to ask her if that was her next to Guy Gordon because we weren't sure. And she said, yeah, that her dad was worried that dust, what it would do to her lungs.
Aww.
Yeah, I know. Great that's sweet. She goes, it was horrible.
It was a worried Dick Purdy on this day 20 years ago as Joanne was breathing in dust from the Hudson Building. Implosion in that city, Detroit, Michigan. All right, get us out of here, Brandon. It's time to go home, everyone. The Hall Financial Hotline. Oh, I forgot it was open.
Yeah,
it had to be for Graph. That's right. Click the link, and they will crunch numbers for you. Fill out the online form if you want to get a refi, or if you want to get a free appraisal for originating a new loan. Or they'll crunch numbers for you, find out if you want to take money out of your house. Let the experts at Hall Financial take care of you. Click the link to Hall Financial on the Drew and Mike Show website. Or call them at 248-308-5000. And tomorrow's Thursday, Jay Moore.
Wow, yeah.
Wow, what's the plug? Is he at Mark Ridley's?
At Mark Ridley's.
Yes.
This weekend?
Damn it.
It's got to be. Oh. Just say yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't think it's this. I think it's...
It's in a while. Just Google.
So much pressure on Trudy.
No, I...
We did find out, though, that Tom doesn't like him based on one character he played in one movie.
November 4th.
Yeah.
Sunday, November 4th at 4, 6, and 8:30.
Thank you, Brandon.
So as far as this weekend, it is not this weekend.
Not this weekend.
Nope.
But November 4th.
Gives you some time to get those tickets.
We should go there anyways this weekend, see whoever else is playing.
Yeah, he's always got great comedians, and Mark actually like interceded personally on our behalf, so that was cool.
Yeah, Maz is really mad about the fact that Jay Moore's character in Jerry Maguire stole Tom Cruise's client. So he hates Jay Moore for that.
He holds it against Jay Moore.
We got to ask him about
that. He called him a smug bastard.
That's right.
Well, his character was. They played a pretty good character.
You really love him and how much you bench.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow with Jay Moore, who's at Mark Ridley's, coming up November 4th. See ya!
And now it's time for How Much You Bench with your host, Frankie Genovese.
Hello, and welcome to How Much You Bench, the show dedicated to bodybuilding and a steroid-free powerlifting experience. I think you know our panelists, especially if you were a Perth Amboy local. In which case, you would also know that we enjoy a lifting experience that's completely free of steroid influence.
Yeah,
that's right. That's right.
Yeah, love it.
Before we go to the phones, let's start off with a regular segment on How Much You Bench called Movie Talk. This is where we have a steroid-free discussion of the movies. Tonight's topic, Hollywood's hot new actors and how much we want to kick their heads in. First up, Brad Pitt. He's becoming a big star. Do we like it?
My girl thinks he's really cute, and she says he was really good in Thelma and Louise. So to be quite honest, I'd like to give him a savage beating. The kind of beating where the cops would say, what kind of animal would do this to another human being?
Yeah! Brad Pitt needs a beating. He needs a beating fast. I swear to God, I'm not in the mood for him. Ever.
To sum up, I guess Brad Pitt gets a beating. Next up, Richard Grieco. The heat has faded, but he seems to still have that certain look on his face that needs to be wiped off. Agree?
Oh, my God, yes. I want to boot him so hard in the Adam's apple, it comes shooting out his mouth. Holy Lord, when I used to watch him on 21 Jump Street, he would make me so angry it was like I was on steroids or something. That's how angry he made me. Hey, Grieco, what's behind you? It's your worst nightmare, mister. Mr. Big Time Beaten. Wham, bam, snap, throat punch. Down you go. Open, it continues. Bam, bam, bam. Whack, whack. When's it ever going to stop? Survey says not very soon.
I can't follow his energy. However, I'd like to stress two things. Brad Pitt needs a beating, and I'm not on steroids.
Very nice.
All right, yeah.
Mr. Pitt, if I ever see you, I'll give you so many rights. You'll be begging for less! Yeah! Yeah! A beating all around. All right, finally, Charlie Sheen. Thoughts?
He's cool. I like his work.
Half my ass off at Hot Shots, part two.
Yeah, you know what? I'm on the fence. I can go either way with him.
Shut up, gentlemen. The man needs a beating. He needs a good old-fashioned James Caan, Godfather 1, garbage can involved monster beating. Yeah! Yeah! Oh! All right. And let me say that what you've just seen was a display of normal male envy and aggression, and in no way was the consequence of steroid abuse. Stay off the juice.
Yeah.
The side effects are worth
That's
it.
That's right.
All right. Before we take calls, I think someone here has an announcement to make.
Indeed, I do. Just this last Friday at 2:23 p.m., I was benching, and I put up 350 pounds.
Yeah! Oh, yeah! Yeah! You! Yeah, all right, man, you did it totally without the aid of steroids or steroid byproducts. You must be Ant-Man 350. Let's see that rip.
Yeah!
Rip it. Oh, yeah! And I'm not even oiled up, gentlemen.
Yeah!
Yeah!
Well, it's my guess we lost a few callers with that one. I'd like to thank those of you that hung in there. So let's get to your calls. Caller, you're on. How much you bench?
255. Steroid free, just like you guys.
Tinkerbell! Tinkerbell!
255? You called to brag about that? Anything else you want to brag about? Maybe how you got great seats for Phantom of the Opera?
Yeah! Or maybe how you got great seats for some other queer play.
Oh, yeah! Now hang up the phone, all right? Because there's a lot of other guys at the gay bar who need to use it, all right? You selfish bastard! God, I'm not on steroids!
Okay, next caller. You're on the air. How much you bench?
I don't really work out, okay? My question is for steroid user number two.
Hey, there's no one here on steroids, Nancy boy.
Yeah, steroid user two. Could you tell me why your legs are so thin?
That's because I generally don't like to kick guys like you into a coma. I like to hear your bones snap under my fists.
Let me ask one more question. How do you guys ever get girls? I mean, do you have to hypnotize them or something?
No. You do.
Yeah! Hang up the phone, Nancy boy! Save your money for when you call 1-900-MAKE-OUT with a guy!
Yeah! All right, next caller. You're on. How much you bench?
Hey, steroid boy. This is Charlie Sheen. You want a piece of me?
Yeah, where are you at, pretty boy?
You know where I live, Emilio. I'll be right here.
Hey, Charlie, come on, it's just a sketch.
Yeah? Well, it's just a beating. Get ready for it.
Next caller. How much you bench?
Not a tremendous amount. Hey, I lost a dog, and I was wondering if I could describe him in case a viewer has seen him.
You got it, Apple Woman. What's this poodle look like?
No, it's not a poodle. I don't know what kind it is, but I know it's definitely on steroids. It's real buff with little stick legs, and it's got this weird forehead, real hairy back and shoulders with tons of zits. It goes through crazy mood swings, and it answers to Loser.
Oh, my God, Frankie, there ain't no dog. This guy's referring to us. Oh, I can't stand it. Oh, my God. I want a piece of this guy. Oh, God, please, God. I gotta give this guy a beating. You will pay, Nancy boy. Oh, it's coming. You hear me? Oh, God. You are gonna pay. I'm sorry, Nancy boy.
Tune in next week to How Much You Bench.
Yeah! How Much You Bench has been brought to you by Jim Tischer's Anabolic Steroids. For when you want big mass and got no time, turn to the juice, Jim Tischer's Juice.